Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Today's sponsor is one that we've been working with for a while right now, Vincero. V-I-N-C-E-R-O. Vincero watches create the most amazing looking watches at such an incredible price point. Seriously, watches that are so stunning and they're still under $200. The guys on their team sent over some watches and I have enjoyed wearing them with great regularity. For a lot of brands, it's all about the bottom line, not the customer. Vincero is different. These guys know just how important it is to look and feel your best, but above all, they treat their customers right. We will always go above and beyond to make sure you are taken care of. Vincero offers free shipping, 60-day returns, and guarantees your watch for 2 years. Take advantage of 15% off everything on their website. Vincero has styles for men and women, as well as accessories. It's VinceroWatches.com/Kirk. When you purchase the discount Kirk, it's automatically applied at checkout. It's the best watches out there. Mr. Producer loves wearing them. Go to VinceroWatches.com/Kirk. VinceroWatches/Kirk. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the live stream tonight. I'm joined by two very special guests and friends. Isabel Brown.
Yes, indeed. So excited to be here.
Contributor at Turning Point USA and our seventh generation Arizonan. Tyler Boyer is back. Hopefully some good news out of Arizona.
Back again for last
We have
round.
Another Arizona drop tonight. We have entered election week.
Last drop.
I have to say the president's chances in Arizona are slim, but we're still going to see what happens when the data drop. Happens tonight. Isabel will be here tonight also with, every time I call on her, she's going to tell us another name of someone who voted from the grave.
There's lots. We got a whole packet, so get excited.
Oh, you printed off everyone who voted
dead? Oh, yes. It's a very
thick packet. That's just 1,300 of them. These are just the 1,300 dead voters tonight. I want to thank all of you guys that are joining us from across the country. Freedom@charliekirk.com if you want to contact us directly throughout the show. I want to thank those of you that are supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. Breaking in just the last couple of hours, Bill Barr has announced that he has green-lighted investigations into voter fraud across the country. Good. We don't know the extent. We don't know where exactly a lot of these investigations will end up. But we do know this. And we have an entire whiteboard to show it. And Tyler might be getting in the way of the whiteboard. We'll narrate this. Is that how can you explain the 1,776% increase in voter registration for people 90-plus years old? The 9,000 Nevada ballots that might have been cast from people that were out of state, President Trump won every single bellwether county across the country. And so let's go back to the main camera here. Yeah,
This is actually 1774.
Yeah, it's 1774. I know. Someone corrected it earlier.
It was me. Behind the
scenes.
Yeah? No, it was actually Connor.
It's the data crunching team. So watch one of the tech companies come out and say, oh, no, you're spreading things that are – okay, it's 1776 versus 1774. But there are questions that need to be answered. And the media is being relentless in their coronation of Joe Biden. And you see so many irregularities that are happening in these states. And we're going to go through Benford's Law. We're going to go through all sorts of different things tonight. But the thing that I really wanted to lead with is how the activist media has engaged – in one of the most dangerous campaigns to suppress opposition opinion. You have seen the most powerful people on the planet, the pharmaceutical companies with their release of the Pfizer vaccine, which they decided not to do 6 days ago, the big tech companies, Hollywood, the big banks, government officials, government bureaucrats, they all have worked in harmony to suppress you. And now if you dare even speak out against them, they say, shut up, citizen, you're not allowed to say that. If you dare even ask the question, wait a second, why is it that dead people are voting in the state of Michigan? Isabel, give me a name.
Rosa Davis, born in 1920.
How did Rosa Davis vote in the state of Michigan? It says ballot received.
I wonder how she voted. That's my question.
I don't think she was a Trump voter.
I don't think she was a Trump voter.
I don't think she was a Trump voter. So can you go to the side camera here? I want to walk through something here that's very, very important, which is you've heard a lot of people talk about this. It's called Benford's Law, okay? So it's the law of large numbers. When you have a lot of large numbers that are input into a data set, it will naturally have create a parabola or an equation with a downward slope, with a very specific pattern. You can see this is how Donald Trump voted, Donald Trump and Mike Pence. You can see this all across the country. Look at Allegheny County here, okay? This is the most operative thing. You see Donald Trump and Joe Jorgensen, they followed this law perfectly. This is a law of mathematics. How is it that in Allegheny County, Joe Biden didn't just not follow it? It looked so incredibly artificial. You saw this also here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. How is it that Don Blankenship, Donald Trump, Brian Carroll, write-in candidates, Joe Jorgensen, all perfectly followed Benford's law, but Joe Biden didn't in Wisconsin? What is the possible explanation for this? And the only answer possible is voter fraud, is because when you have these kind of big numbers that you're dealing with, you beat Benford's law in 1 in a billion. 1 in a billion. And I think you're actually starting to see a lot of Republicans wake up to the work we've been doing here on this live stream. You see Mitch McConnell that just came out. You see a lot of other Republicans that have come out and they've said, you know what? There might be something to these voter fraud investigations. Yeah. Starting to see this in Arizona, too.
Well, we'll talk tonight about maybe we'll save it for after the results come out at 7. But what's been going on in Arizona is they haven't even been following the law. So
with the voting centers, with all of it, right?
They're not even interested in following the law to verify the vote. That's on the books.
Yes.
Forget about all the illegal stuff that's happening in the background that can't even be addressed by the law, right?
What I find most interesting is that they say, be patient. I have another story here I want to try and find. Be patient. Let us count the votes at all costs. But then as soon as there's more votes to be counted that might contradict some of their wanted and achieved political aims, they're like, oh, it's over. Stop counting the votes.
Yeah.
Where in Georgia, the Georgia Secretary of State came out and said that we are going to find double voters and illegal voters in same-day registration.
Straight up said it.
So I have called this, and you might know this. I know you know this. I've called this the Ozark election. Marty Bird was the designer behind all of this. Okay? It is the Ozark election. This is ballot laundering. Let me read you something from the New York Times.
This is the Andy Dufresne. Andy Dufresne.
Way over my head. Don't get the reference.
Yeah. Who's Andy Dufresne? A lot of our old people, though.
Do you get Andy Dufresne?
It's like the number one movie ever, yeah. Shawshank Redemption. He was like
cooking
the books.
I got it. Yeah, of course. I got it.
We might need a rewatch party, but that's okay.
He's cooking the books for the prison.
Zelo Wetuneu or something was the name of the Mexico City they went to.
Oh, yeah.
Weird how I remember that. Actually, I want to play this Georgia clip right now where Georgia gives an update on the recount efforts. Did you see this in your nightly news? If you didn't, they're lying to you. Play tape.
We are going to find that people did illegally vote. That's going to happen. There are going to be double voters. There are going to be people who did not have the qualifications of a registered voter to vote in this state. That will be found. Is it 10,353? Unlikely. But every election, as I've said, I think every day at this podium, is imperfect. The issue now is, with margins, we are the winner for the closest in the country at 0.2%. When the margins are this tight, every little thing matters.
Well, here's the thing is that there has not been widespread investigations into this voter fraud. And so people say, well, widespread voter fraud does not exist. Here's why I consider it to be the Marty Bird Ozark election. This is ballot laundering. Let me read you from the New York Times. The name of the article, as more vote by mail, faulty ballots could impact elections. Here's what it says. Voters in nursing homes can be subjected to subtle pressure, outright intimidation or fraud. The secrecy of their voting is easily compromised, and their ballots can be intercepted both coming and going. And so we came up with this theory last evening, and it's proven to be true that the 1,774% increase in voter registration for 90-plus-year-olds in Pennsylvania goes in the midst of a pandemic, by the way. Why are 90-year-olds in the midst of a pandemic saying, now all of a sudden I want to go register to vote? What's really telling here, if I were the Marty Bird behind this criminal operation, if I was trying to launder ballots, I would register a bunch of senior citizens that are quarantined and I would intercept all the ballots as they go to the nursing homes.
Yeah, of course.
And then that would and then you clean the ballots by dropping them off into these ballot box locations. Isabel, you have a list of different pieces of voter fraud indictments from across the country. Can you name a couple of these off here?
I do. There's a lot of them, and obviously we have
people
a very
say
big
voter
packet.
Fraud doesn't exist. Isabel, by the way, does amazing work with us at Turning Point USA, tpusa.com. Name some of these off.
There's tons. For one, Mackenzie Oliveira pleaded no contest recently to ballot petition fraud, charged with providing a false affidavit for a referendum or a recall petition with signatures for that. Randall Lee Cole was admitted to the Jefferson County Friendship Diversion Program following charges that they'd illegally voted in previous elections. As a felon, they were obviously ineligible to cast ballots. There's tons of stories like that in here.
What's the Friendship Diversion Program?
I'd be very interested in learning more about the Jefferson County Friendship Diversion
Program. So that's Jefferson
program.
County. Let me see that.
So is that, what happens to you in Jefferson County if you commit a
Friendship Diversion Program where
you
commit felonies?
If you commit
a
felony?
In County, Georgia?
No, it's okay, guys. I'm just going to the Friendship Diversion Program. No big deal.
So look, this packet, which is huge, obviously.
It's 182 pages of voter fraud that Isabel has here.
Full of information
this
about
who
people
takes you
who are ineligible.
The Friendship Diversion Program.
This is your escort.
Welcome to the Friendship Diversion Program.
Full of people who are ineligible to cast absentee ballots, people who defrauded signature petitions to get ballot initiatives onto ballots to begin with, people who were convicted felons, so they were illegal to vote in the first place. We have literally thousands of examples just sitting right here in front of us, and it should terrify you that the mainstream media is refusing to talk about this. These are substantial claims with potential evidence that should be investigated to the fullest extent possible. But unfortunately, we're just not talking about it.
And I could tell you this, that, you know, the one thing that – and I don't want to get people's – you know, I don't want to mislead anyone. But if the Supreme Court comes in and rules that any backdated ballots or any ballots that were not corroborated through the voter rolls are illegal, President Trump could win Pennsylvania. He could win Georgia. Mm-hmm. I don't know about Arizona, but he could win Michigan. And I'm telling you right now, until the Supreme Court speaks – this election is not over.
Correct.
Not over.
Until the Supreme Court speaks on this election, it is not over. Why was Al Gore given 37 days to meander around and not concede and bring it all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court? And for the state legislators out there, they hold all the power to be able to do something about this. Arizona has a Republican state legislator.
Yeah.
Legislature.
We still do. Looks like we're great.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. We'll be good. No, we're good. We're doing good.
Well, and the same is true for many of these other contested states, too. And I think ultimately it falls down to that state legislature perspective. Luckily, hopefully, that will probably work out in good favor. But, you know, it's not just a Republican versus Democrat issue. This is about all voters who need to restore integrity in this process. And the Supreme Court is going to play a huge role in that moving forward.
Yeah. And so if the Supreme Court is able to intercede, here's some possible rulings that they could give. Now, by the way, some people say, well, that's not what the Supreme Court decision is. That's not what people are asking. The Supreme Court has given precedent now that they can make some very wide-reaching decisions. For example, if the Supreme Court is able to say and overturn gay marriage referendums in 22 states in defense of marriage acts, why can't the Supreme Court come in and say, wait a second, any absentee ballot that is not verified for citizenship and livelihood, meaning they're alive, shouldn't be considered.
Yeah,
so, for example, Isabel, give me another voter.
Here's their problem, though, is that a lot of these voting systems, once the vote goes in, they don't know whose ballot is whose.
Hmm.
Well, but the issue...
Allegedly.
You're right, but they have the name on the ballot. They have a barcode that should be connected to...
Voter registration. Yeah.
This is where you start getting really creepy on the Dominion system and everything else, right? Is they do know who you are. And thanks to our friends in tech, they know exactly who you are. And now allegedly they know exactly how you voted on an electronic system. And so this is where you start getting into all the things where everyone's super creeped out. If you ask them that question poignantly, they'll say, no, we don't know. We only know like what precinct mm-hmm. you came from. And you know, some very specific information. We don't know it was you that voted. And that's how they use the cover to have those ballots submitted and then be able to say, hey, once it's done, it's done. There's no reversal course here except for redoing the election.
Well, and that's a question. Is some people say, can they order a revote in these states? The Supreme Court can.
Yeah, of course they can. And honestly, they should. If there's thousands of voters that are dead that voted and they can't tell you. And here's the problem that they have now. Now they have to admit, actually, we know exactly who voted for who.
Exactly.
And that's scary. And that's scary enough for the federal government to come in, for the DOJ to come in and say, mm-hmm. we should not have any systems like this that are able to tell you exactly what ballot voted for, like who was assigned to what ballot. And that's there is no secret ballot anymore.
So here's my argument. That's a big, if we can have a Georgia runoff on January 5th, why can't we have a revote in Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Arizona, and Georgia? If we can have a Senate runoff, here's my argument for keeping the country together. Where this is headed right now, because of Dominion voting systems and mm-hmm. accounting stopping Atlanta, Philadelphia, Detroit, Milwaukee, and the apparent fraud, the dead voters that are voting with great regularity yeah. and all these questions, the Supreme Court should and could, by the way, they could, because the Supreme Court has way more power than I think people realize. Article 3 gives the Supreme Court an extraordinary amount of power, which is why I'm wearing this shirt right here, which says Full Court Press.
Full Court Press.
That is a picture of Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, and Amy Coney Barrett.
The best.
And
I think that's styled after, what's the movie with Will Ferrell? And when he's the Tropics. What is that?
I can't remember.
The basketball movie.
No, I've seen it. It's been a crazy week for all of us. But this election is far from over until the Supreme Court speaks.
Well, and I'm glad both of you brought up Dominion, because obviously that's been a big subject of conversation in the last 48 hours or so. And I'm sure Catherine Kelly, who was born in 1915 and voted in Michigan this cycle, would agree that this is an important thing to talk about. In Michigan, as we were just talking about, as in many of these states, it's going to go to some sort of state legislature hearing in the Republican-controlled Senate in the state of Michigan. Do you think that there's some sort of positive outcome that could come about from that? Where do you think we go from here with 30 states using the Dominion software and the concern in Michigan and beyond?
Well, again, it comes down to a couple things. If the Department of Justice really does a full court press and is able to prove that there's been some irregularities, potential foreign interference in Dominion, and the Trump campaign, who's arguing in front of the Supreme Court, can demonstrate that, I hope everyone understands the U.S. Supreme Court can order a revote.
Yeah.
I mean, mm-hmm. here's a great example, okay? The U.S. federal courts can allow extensions in voting if there's a hurricane. They did this with the pandemic. So, for example, they're still – today's the last day that they allow ballots to be received in Pennsylvania. Insane, right? Today's the last day. So they've allowed them just to pour
so
in.
So dishonest.
Now, here's one way that the Supreme Court might have dug themselves a hole, though. The Supreme Court, I think, violated the U.S. Constitution. Why? Because the Constitution says clearly that elections must be held on the first Tuesday after the first Monday in November. Now, it's worded really weird. You might say, why is it worded that way? Well, because for banking reasons, when they first wrote the U.S. Constitution, they didn't want to have it on the first Tuesday necessarily, might have been the first day of November. So I know it sounds weird, but it must be the first Tuesday after the first Monday. Now, the reason that that's important is that technically they shouldn't allow ballots to be received after that day. What the Supreme Court just did with allowing 9 days of 7 days of ballot harvesting, they just set precedent for a revote.
Totally.
They just set precedent that all of a sudden that maybe the first Tuesday after the first Monday isn't the last
day. Isn't the last day.
Maybe all of a sudden you can have a revote. Yeah. And I think that either you have a full manual hand recount, or let's just save us all the time and energy. You can have a Georgia runoff in January. Then we demand a full revote in Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Arizona, and Georgia. All those states. And how about this? A full revote in any state that had Dominion voting systems.
Yeah, 100%.
Which was 30 states. So that, I mean, obviously would be a very overwhelming change, most likely, in the outcome of this election.
There'd be a lot of unhappy elections departments across the United States.
Yeah.
Very unhappy that their work for the last 2 or 4 years has...
You mean all the ballot laundering?
Yeah. Yeah, they put a lot of work into laundering those ballots, you know, and changing the voting systems.
You guys have heard me talk about Good Ranchers before. They do such a great job. Good Ranchers began with the standard of bringing 100% American-born, raised, and harvested meat to families across America. This vision was instilled into them from their grandparents that owned community grocery stores and believed in trust, charity, and family values. GoodRanchers.com partners directly with only American ranches from across the United States to bring the highest quality meat right to your door. GoodRanchers.com. Get 100% American-raised beef straight to your door. Beef the way it used to be. Get America's best grass-fed grain right now. Finished beef delivered straight to your door. It's GoodRanchers.com. Make sure you tell them that our show sent you. Use the promo code CHARLIE to save $20 off your purchase. For the price of a family going out to dinner, you can fill your freezer with quality meats at GoodRanchers.com. Don't
waste your money on cheap cuts and overseas beef buying from the other guys. Get the American beef cuts your family deserves with Good Ranchers. Buy today at GoodRanchers.com. Get 100% American-born, raised, and harvested beef and chicken delivered straight to your door. Visit GoodRanchers.com to find the perfect package for your family. Get the good stuff with Good Ranchers. T-bones, ribeyes, fillets, and more. GoodRanchers.com, promo code Charlie. GoodRanchers.com, promo code Charlie.
So, Isabel, what other stories you got for us tonight?
Marjorie Gale of Hood River, Oregon, voted twice in the last election, once for herself and once for her daughter, and both votes were cast by an absentee ballot, which begs the question, how many absentee ballots here may have not been legitimate? In 2016, she pleaded guilty to that violation and then was just ordered to pay a fine. I'm not sure if she was still eligible to vote in 2020, but with all these absentee ballots continuing to pour in after the fact, it really does make you stop and think, you know, how many of these have to deal with absentee ballot fraud. Speaking of, Harry Maxwell of Delaware County in Pennsylvania was charged in 2019 with absentee ballot fraud. In his confession, he said that he would pick up girls and get them to sign absentee ballots in the names of deceased individuals. Speaking of what we were just talking about earlier, he pleaded guilty to that with one count of forgery and one count of false use of an absentee ballot and two counts of criminal conspiracy, and was sentenced to just 2 years probation. You know, it seems that there's not a lot of concern historically with the outcome of this illegal voting and moving forward, making sure that that never happens again, which is why the litigation process that's ongoing right now and where we move forward from here in the Supreme Court is so important, because clearly voter fraud has been exposed in the past. It's been a problem in United States elections in previous years, is obviously a problem right now, needs to be investigated so that this never happens again.
So we have a video here that we have not been able to verify, but lots of people are saying that it's true. So I have to give that disclaimer, but it certainly looks true. And I think this is of a, I want to make sure I get this right. Is that of a Georgia poll worker? What is the state, Connor? I want to make sure. Pennsylvania. I'm sorry. Pennsylvania. Okay. Watch this video. It's horrifying. Play tape.
Get the vote bell outs, which means we get your votes and we separate them. So if some of these votes happen to say, like this one, Donald J. Dumb Trump, that one just don't make it towards the mayor.
So again, we have not been able to independently verify this. Can we play that again? But before we do, this, it looks like a real ballot. You and I have seen enough ballots in our life that looks like a real ballot. He's wearing something that looks like he was either directing traffic at a church or that he's a poll watcher. So his uniform definitely doesn't look like he's just somebody off the side of the street. He's wearing a mask. He's got the full uniform. And that ballot looks pretty legit. Connor, can you pause the video as soon as he holds up the ballot? We'll be able to see just by the coding whether this is a fake video or not. Okay, let's play the video again.
Get the vote bell outs, which means we get your votes and we separate them. So if some of these votes happen to say, like this one.
I don't know if you could pause it or not. Did you pause it? I think we lost it. Hold on. We'll play it again.
Get the vote bell outs, which means we get your votes and we separate them. So if some of these votes happen to say, like this one.
That looks like a real ballot, Tyler. What do you think?
Look, I'm going to assume that's real. I'm just going to take it for what it's worth. I mean,
can anyone in Pennsylvania email us freedom@charliekirk.com if that looked like your ballot?
I mean, it would be an awfully intricate process to Photoshop that if it wasn't real. So at first glance,
I mean, it seems like a lot of work, like you said, to just stage that whole thing.
Why would he dress like he's parking cars at a church if he's not doing that? All right, finish the video.
Here's the scary part.
Donald J. Dumb Trump. That one just don't make it towards the mayor.
Here's the scary part about this.
Yeah.
Think about all the old people that are getting abused by these Democrat vote harvesting centers. What they're doing is they're going to, so we talked about this a couple nights ago. The first place that had the highest amount of returns for Democrats in Arizona were our senior areas. You would never expect that because you don't think of the Democrat Party as the senior party. Mm-hmm. However, there's tons of senior citizens in the Democrat Party, obviously, just like there are a ton of young people in the Republican Party. And they're going to these places and they're harvesting their ballots, basically prying them out of granny's hands, telling them how to vote, voting for them. Think about how many conservatives that they're collecting these for. And they're doing just that, not on video. They're just ripping up all of their ballots. And
so there's a
them
term
away.
For this. The New York Times calls this granny farming.
It's happening.
Let me see if I can find the exact part of the article. It's here. I think
you have to assume that if they're going to the work to collect their people's ballots, that they're also going to the work to destroy their opponents' ballots, right? Like, it just is happening. And in places where there's vulnerable senior citizens, and you have these disgusting groups that go in and take advantage of these old people, you have to assume, again, you have to assume that that's happening. And we're seeing it. We're seeing it every night. We're seeing, you know, where the left has paid organizers. Clearly, these guys are paid to do this. Whether it's unionized, whatever,
right.
Union guys or part of organizations that are leftist, crazy organizations, and they're going in and they're hurting people. And they're hurting people by tearing up their votes and taking advantage of them. This is another reason why mail-in ballots are terrible.
Two things. Number one, we've got about 50 emails saying that that looks like a Pennsylvania ballot of people that are watching in Pennsylvania. So thank you. Email us, freedom@charliekirk.com. Number two, Tyler, to reinforce your point, election administrators have a shorthand name for the central weakness of voting by mail. They call it granny farming. Now, I wouldn't think this would be a big deal if I didn't see the 1,774% increase in voter registration for 90-plus-year-olds of people in a pandemic.
It's crazy.
So you shelter in place all the 90-plus-year-olds.
Yep.
You turn these old people's homes into lockdown areas. They don't leave their home. Mm-hmm. They don't leave their unit. And then these ballots get sent. And it says here in the New York Times article, it says, and their ballots can be intercepted both coming and going. And then they blend all these ballots together and drop them into big tech funded ballot drop boxes.
And that's not even the only concern taking advantage of elderly voters in this election. We see an ongoing lawsuit in Clark County in Las Vegas in Nevada where an elderly person showed up to vote at the polls and they'd been told an absentee ballot was already filled out in your name. You are ineligible to vote, even though she had changed residencies. I think she was living in a nursing home at this point. I'm not 100% sure. But how sad is that to take advantage of people in our society from the side that claims every vote is what matters? We have to honor every single vote.
Or the side that, I mean, look this is the you talk about the left talking about humanizing, you know, the world, like we're inhuman people because we just don't care about people, and they're literally taking advantage of old people every election cycle. And this is something that I think we need to really put into place. I think the right needs to really find an organization that just stakes out these places as soon as early ballots come out. And we need to catch these people and we need to prosecute them because this is disturbing.
Well, if I was the DOJ, which I'm not, and I was looking at the low-hanging fruit to get something really tangible very quick, it's very simple. I take this list of people that were born 102, 105, 115 years ago. How about this one right here? Born in 1915, Cordelia Pitts, it says, voted. Or how about Marion Cybriski? Voted, ballot received. I go find, make sure these people are actually deceased, which I don't know how many 106-year-olds there are in Michigan. I don't think there's that many. 1912, 108 years old. So Alice Babcock, you go and find them or what happened to them, and then you backtrace where the ballot was sent.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You find the barcode.
Yep.
You start there. It's not that hard.
No,
and if you had a team of investigators, this would be very simple. There's an entire division of the Civil Rights Division.
It's a ring. Yeah, this is
like a RICO case.
It's like a drug lord ring.
That's a very important point, Tyler, because people say there's no such thing as widespread voter fraud. Hold on a second. There's widespread money laundering. You just don't see it unless you look for it.
That's right.
There's widespread drug dealing. You don't see it unless you look for it. There's widespread wire fraud. There's widespread phishing scams.
Human trafficking. I mean, we could go on and on.
Unless
and
you
on.
Have personnel that looks into these things. And by the way, we are now raising the alarm on all of it.
Yep.
And what's amazing is that the activist media is usually on the cutting edge of getting authorities to look into things, right?
Not this.
Usually they're like, oh, we want the government to go look into things. They trigger investigations. Mm-hmm. For example, Harvey Weinstein, okay? Harvey Weinstein was under no criminal – serious criminal investigations until the one guy that works for the New Yorker, what's his face? I'll think of it. It's Ronan Farrow. I started looking into it, all these criminal investigations. Okay. But now we are seeing, breaking tonight, as mentioned, Attorney General Bill Barr authorized DOJ to look into voting irregularities. Quote, Attorney General William Barr, in a memo issued on Monday, authorized the Department of Justice to look into voting irregularities in the 2020 presidential election. Now, I'm going to make a side argument that's very, very important. I think Bill Barr needs to release the Durham report right now. Why?
Yeah.
These Democrats need to know that they're on notice and that there will be prosecution no matter what they do. Durham report right now. And so Bill Barr has an opportunity to save his reputation and with it the United States of America. If Bill Barr is able to uncover exactly what we see here, everybody, don't put it past Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, Alito, Thomas, and Amy Coney Barrett to say, revote in the five states. They have that authority. Yep. That is not out of their jurisdiction, everybody. Read Article 3 of the U.S. Constitution. And no matter how much they picket or how much they protest or how much they outrage, revote January 5th. It'll be in time before the new inauguration. We have a Senate runoff. And by the way, you have to have all your ballots counted by the next morning, Atlanta, Philadelphia, Milwaukee, Detroit. Nothing possibly could prevent that. Can you read this affidavit quickly for us, Isabel?
Yeah.
It's very important.
I'm really glad you brought this up, Charlie, because we do have actual evidence at this point, as it would be considered evidence under a court of law, that voter fraud did take place. That's been the talking point of the media for several days, that there is no such thing as widespread voter fraud and there is, quote, no evidence. Well, we have evidence right here in front of us. It's a signed affidavit from an individual in Pennsylvania. There's another one that came out in Nevada earlier today. This one is from Richard Hopkins, which essentially says he's over the age of 18 years old. He's legally competent to make this declaration. And as an employee of the United States Postal Service, he worked as a carrier in the Erie, Pennsylvania post office. And here's what he said. Although, as I understand Pennsylvania law, ballots must be postmarked by 8 o'clock p.m. on Election Day, November 3rd, 2020, in Pennsylvania, the postmaster directed his co-workers and him to pick up ballots after Election Day and provide them to him. As discussed more fully, he heard the postmaster tell a supervisor at his office that they were going to backdate the postmarks on the ballots to make it appear as though the ballots had been collected on November 3rd, 2020, despite them, in fact, being collected on November 4th and possibly later. This essentially went all the way into November 5th. You're seeing multiple days of these ballots being completely backdated. They were later directed that ballots be picked up through Friday, November 6th, 2020, and postmarked as if it was Tuesday, November 3rd. Again, this is clearly in violation not only of what the law says, but of what we know is the right thing to do in these elections. I think we're going to be seeing a lot more of these signed affidavits come forward, individuals feeling empowered to speak the truth because they're seeing other people start to do so. I'm excited for that. But this idea that the activist media, who's supposed to have a vested interest in directing us to investigate these things, refuses to even acknowledge that there is evidence, let alone signed affidavits from postal workers, from polling workers, is completely despicable.
And this was signed by him, right?
It was. Yes, it was signed by him. And by the way, just as a side note, all of this information on the board in front of us, all of these stacks of papers in front of us, all of this is public information. You might have to do some digging and you might have to do some research, but we're not rocket scientists to uncover all of this. This information is out there. And I think the more of us that start asking these questions, the more likely it is that the authorities that be are going to start investigating this stuff.
So Isabel, do you remember a guy by the name of Mark Harris? It's okay if you don't.
I don't.
Versus Dan McCready. So now one of Saul Alinsky's rules is to hold the enemy to their own book of rules. Who was calling for a revote in the calendar year of 2019? Does anyone remember this? This was neatly tucked under the cobwebs of history. The Nation, which is nothing more than a Soviet newspaper, says North Carolina's revote is a win for democracy. Now, I don't know if you guys remember this or not, but there was a race in North Carolina between Republican Mark Harris and Democrat Dan McCready. 905 votes separated them. Close as the race was, the margin would have been sufficient enough for Harris to walk into Congress had it not been for allegations of election fraud. Though McCready initially conceded the North Carolina Democratic Party gathered sufficient evidence of a ballot harvesting scheme organized by a Harris operative. So they accused a Republican of it. Absentee ballots were collected from areas that were presumed to lean Democratic, but they were never turned in. Get this. Both the North Carolina Board of Elections and U.S. House of Representatives refused to certify the election. This is last year. An inquiry by the Board of Elections found evidence of a, quote, coordinated, unlawful, substantially resourced absentee ballot scheme. that seemed to involve more than 1,000 ballots or ballot request forms. By mid-February, even Harris, the Republican, acknowledged that the, quote, public's confidence in the 9th District seat general has been undermined to an extent that a new election is warranted. He never should have done that. But of course, it's the Republicans always conceding.
Yeah.
The Board of Elections voted unanimously to order today's revote between Democrat McCready, an Iraq war veteran, and solar energy company executive, and a new Republican nominee, right-wing state legislator Dan Bishop. What's the lesson here? We had a revote in North Carolina last year. Mm-hmm. When irregularities were found, and it was for a House seat, and Democrats were calling for it. Revote.
Is that a swing state?
Of course it is.
Oh, is that a contested state?
Not only that, it's a contested House race.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. By the way, we did work there.
In that district?
Yeah, that. One of our great leaders is Dan Bishop's son.
At North Carolina State University.
Mm-hmm. North Carolina State.
I have not heard anyone bring up this race, though. Have you?
Not once.
You did.
Well, that's why.
You heard it here on the Charlie Kirk Show.
So I want to thank those of you.
The new Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Look, a lot of people talk about censorship on social media. I know I do. And the left wants to silence and remove any voices they don't agree with. Twitter and Facebook were supposed to be open platforms. I don't need their content moderators acting like the op-ed section of the failing New York Times. So instead of letting social media sites revoke your right to free speech, how about revoking their right to your data? Now you could just deactivate all your social media accounts, but that would just give the left just what they wanted. Instead, I use ExpressVPN. Ever wonder how free-to-access sites like Facebook make all their money? Well, by tracking your searches, video history, and everything you click on, and then selling your available data. When you use ExpressVPN, you anonymize much of your online presence by hiding your IP address. And ExpressVPN couldn't be easier to set up. You just use one tap right there, and ExpressVPN encrypts 100% of your data, protect you from hackers and internet bad guys. It's finally time to say no to censorship and take back your online privacy. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. By visiting my special link, you'll get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN service for free. Again, that's ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Protect your data today. I want to thank Jamie for supporting us at CharlieKirk.com/support, Fleming Island, Florida. I want to thank Francine for supporting us from O'Fallon, Missouri. I want to thank Dina for supporting us from Folsom, California. It helps us continue the drumbeat at charliekirk.com/support. And by the way, one of the reasons why Bill Barr has been activated into action is because of programs like ours. You understand that politicians play out the script that we give them. You have to understand that the people in charge do as they are told. They need clear instructions. So when we keep the drumbeat going here every single night, that is the pressure, the public pressure campaign that they need.
100%.
To do what the right thing. So for example, every single one of you right now that are watching and you're like, can we possibly get a revote? Yes, we can.
It happened last year in North Reuters. Carolina.
Reuters.com. North Carolina orders new U.S. election after tainted vote. Every single person should be publicizing that Democrats were calling for a revote when they didn't like the election results. We are calling for a revote because of the same thing that they wanted the revote for, for election fraud. Yep. What else you got on criminal indictments, Isabel?
Yeah, but it's not even just election fraud. This is like, they had just deep concerns about the election.
Right.
And they did a revote.
Right.
We're talking about straight up fraud. And they're like, no, no need to revote.
Literally video footage of people ripping
up
ballots.
They're concerned about how a guy was registering people. And they're like, oh, gotta revote. It's a district that we have to win.
It's unbelievable. Okay, you guys, I'm reading through more of this giant stack of voter fraud, which is quite fascinating. Maybe we should email everyone a copy of this because it really is a good read. I got to tell you what.
Maricopa County coming in.
Oh boy, here we go.
Isabel, so I'll talk fast. Tell us some more indictments
of
people
that
broke the law.
Absentee ballot. Absentee ballot. Absentee ballot. Sending in absentee ballots for illegal aliens. Mailing an absentee ballot to another state that you're not registered anymore because you left, which is certainly a concern in the state of Nevada that we've been hearing a lot about lately. Casting an absentee ballot after already casting an in-person ballot because it's open after election day, like we were just talking about a minute ago. I mean, I could literally come up with tens of thousands of examples for you guys right now in 2020, in years past, in previous elections. This is unbelievable to me that we have people who've been prosecuted for this before. It's been a concern before, and yet everyone is saying there's no substantial evidence of widespread voter fraud. Absentee ballots are completely safe to use. There's no concern for mail-in voting whatsoever. All of you are probably opening up social media just like us, and if you even see a tweet about the words mail-in ballot, Twitter flags that, saying mail-in balloting is completely safe, completely harmless, there's nothing to be concerned about whatsoever. And those videos, like the one that we just showed you, are probably going to be scrubbed in a matter of about 30 minutes to an hour. The same thing happened with some video footage earlier this week. So you need to make sure that you are taking advantage of the opportunity to find this publicly available information quickly, as soon as possible, because it takes the loud voices of people like us, people who are independent, to do that.
So let's put this up on screen, Connor, please. Look at the Google Trends here. Look at how many people have been searching how to sell a ballot. Oh, my gosh. Look at this. Look at the spikes. Is it on screen right now, Connor? The yellow is all throughout the month of October of people that were Googling how to sell a ballot. And then after that, they said election fraud punishment, just worried. Then they did election fraud prison. And then the day right before the election, how to sell a ballot.
Wow.
You don't find what you don't look for. And problems that are not confronted multiply. Let's go to the next one. Look at this. Look in the states that have the highest amount of search results for how to sell a ballot and election fraud punishment. Arizona.
California is always just the constant, right? It's just like California's just on there because it's just consistently always fraudulent. Everything else is a swing state.
California has a cottage industry of marijuana and ballot selling.
Yeah. It's like right behind heroin, it's ballots.
So. Well, no, New Mexico is heroin's.
And Oregon now.
And Oregon. Now it's legal in Oregon.
So we have confirmation here. Can we go back to that video, please, of the guy ripping up the ballot, allegedly? So before we look at the ballot, I have a picture of one of our listeners that emailed us, freedom@charliekirk.com. If it's a legitimate Pennsylvania ballot, Donald Trump would be listed second. I think that's what showed, right?
Yeah, I saw that.
Because every state does a different order. In Arizona, for example, I think Trump was listed first. Is that right? I'm just thinking from memory, from what somebody showed.
I think it's at random.
Again, for those of you that are just looking at us coming in, look at this video of a Pennsylvania poll worker allegedly tearing up a Trump ballot, and this is just the one that he publicized. How many other Trump ballots did he tear up?
Yeah.
Who knows? Well, I guess we'll never know.
Get the vote bell outs, which means we get your votes and we separate them. So. If some of these votes happen to say, like this one, Donald J. Trump, that one just don't make it towards the mail.
Yep, that corroborates based on everything that we have available. Are we doing more investigation than the Department of Justice? But guess what? We are now in an era of citizen journalism.
Mm-hmm.
We are now in an era where we have to do the work because the New York Times, the Washington Post, and all of these other outlets will not do this work. We are now waiting for another Arizona drop. I want to thank some people that are supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. Jacqueline from Nevada, thank you. Ryan from Louisiana, thank you. Jesper from Hawaii, thank you. Yearly from California, $500.
Wow.
Amazing. Thank you. They are saying, actually, they're from Idaho. It's awesome. And Matt from Iowa, thank you so much. And someone's asking, where is Isabel from? She's from TPUSA.com. In fact, we are all wearing TPUSA.
What is it?
TPUSAstore.com?
Isabel's a contributor.
I think shop TPUSA.com.
Isabel is a contributor for Turning Point USA
on
TPUSA Live. You can find her at TPUSA Live.
And we are always growing our contributor team, by the way. So I work with an amazing group of people. If the question was what state I'm from the state of Colorado, which in and of itself had an interesting week when it came to the election and ballot initiatives this week. But I'm proud to be from Colorado.
But Isabel was a chapter leader with Turning Point USA at Colorado State University.
I was.
Where her sisters also are...
Followed suit. It's very exciting.
Are going to and are they graduating?
My younger sister, one is a junior at CSU. One is taking a gap year this year, actually, prior to college, which I'm very supportive of, all you high school seniors right now. We are waiting on any second
now. I think we have the Arizona drop.
Here we go.
Less than favorable?
Yeah, less than favorable. But this was kind of what I was expected. It looks like the Biden lead now across Arizona is cut to 14,000 or so, 14,500 votes. It was about 50-50 for the most part, looks like. Looks like it was pretty close. How many ballots did they say?
It wasn't a lot. It was 6,397.
It was only 6,000.
That is a pretty small drop in comparison with the last few
days. That might have been a real Democrat blend.
What was that? Was that just now?
Yeah, it should be. Is that paired off of Archer?
No. I'm not seeing
it. Yeah, I would assume that's the – we haven't got it back yet, but I would assume that's the Maricopa returns. Yeah.
I want to clear something up that a lot of you are emailing us, freedom@charliekirk.com. I'm not the bearer of bad news. Real Clear Politics, I don't think, ever called the race for Biden. So they didn't pull it. They just never called the race for Biden. So I just want to make sure we clear that up. So that's it's very important. But look, here's the case right now. We must keep the pressure on. We concede nothing. We do not give an inch. Here's what needs to happen. We need to do what the nation told us to do, which, again, is the nation basically is Soviet Pravda. The Nation, September 10th, 2019. North Carolina's revote is a win for democracy. When elections cannot be resolved with recounts, they should be held again. They made us do a revote for a Republican race where a Republican won in North Carolina, not because there was proven voter fraud, but because there were allegations of voter fraud.
Right.
The U.S. Supreme Court should come in and order a revote in Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Georgia, and Arizona. They should announce it in the next couple of weeks, say it's going to happen the same day as the Georgia runoff, and no more absentee ballot nonsense, no more vote by mail, because guess what? The pandemic's over, right? There's a vaccine, allegedly. Everyone can go out and celebrate as if there's no problems whatsoever.
Yeah.
You look after the Notre Dame football game. Could you imagine? I just want you to imagine something. What if the left, with all their celebrations and all this sort of preemptive nonsense, why do we have to go send ballots to everybody now? There's no pandemic, allegedly. All of a sudden, you got to go vote in person. I mean, they are out in the streets as if it's Mardi Gras mixed with a New Year celebration, mixed with the turn of the millennium. And if they have January 5th and say, fine, you vote in person, you can request an absentee ballot, and you want to see liberals angry, just wait for the U.S. Supreme Court through the full court press. And by the way, this is not out of the realm of possibility.
Right.
This is what happens when you keep the pressure on. They want you to give up.
So, Charlie, maybe for those who don't have a great understanding of what this timeline looks like, one of the biggest questions I've gotten today through social media, through email, etc., has been, okay, so what happens tomorrow versus a few weeks from now or a few months from now? Do you want to maybe give a rundown on what that might look
like? Yeah, so the best case right now is for the president to file directly with the U.S. Supreme Court and basically ask for a revote/recount. Recount is different than a revote. I think the best way to do this, the only way that people are going to have faith in the system, is a full and total revote. That's the only way. And courts have ordered revotes before. I just went through the North Carolina example. And we have plenty of time, everybody. In order for the U.S. Constitution to stay intact, it requires the next president to be sworn in on January 20th, right? Mm-hmm. That's actually in the Constitution. That's a preferred date. I believe it's constitutional, right? It's not extra constitutional. Meaning it's not tradition?
To do what?
Is it January 20th?
It's January 20th, yeah.
January 20th. And so we have plenty of time. So here's the least likely path, just so everyone's clear. The least likely path is that we find all these irregularities in Dominion, and then they reverse it and make Donald Trump the winner, okay? That's probably not going to happen. But if there is a good enough argument from the DOJ, from all of the exposure of voter fraud that we find, the dead voters, the increase of voter registration with older voters, how Trump did a point better in D.C., 5 points better in San Francisco versus 2016, 5 points better in Chicago, all these sorts of different things. You combine all that together, then you are able to say that we need a revote. It says in the U.S. Constitution, Inauguration Day moved to January 20th, beginning in 1937, following the ratification of the 20th Amendment to the Constitution, where it has remained since.
Yep.
A similar Sunday exception and move to Monday is made around this date as well, which happened in 1957, 1985, and 2013. So there has been some precedent, but I think those are all incumbent presidents that are running for re-election. Think about it. That would be Dwight D. Eisenhower in 57. Yeah, that's right. Dwight D. Eisenhower in 57, Reagan in 85, and Obama in 13. That'd be the only reason why they would move it to a Sunday, because there's not a problem with the transition of power. Elizabeth Harrington on Twitter, breaking right now, just says, Detroit poll watcher at 4:30 a.m. on November 4th, quote, tens of thousands of ballots have been delivered from out of state. Quote, unlike the other ballots, these boxes were brought in from the rear of the room. Quote, I specifically noticed every ballot I observed was cast for Joe Biden. This is a sworn affidavit, everybody. This is evidence. Let's get this on screen, and then let's show the Notre Dame people celebrating. Can we get this on screen? This is a big deal. Tens of thousands of ballots. Revote, 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 Amy Coney Barrett, Gorsuch, and Kavanaugh. Order a revote. There is precedent. I just showed you precedent. No one else is talking about this North Carolina revote precedent. Mm-mm. No one else is. And we have the evidence. Can we get this on screen here, please, so I can read this? Okay. It's on the. It's on that other chat. A revote is constitutional. No matter what they say, these state legislators can also order a revote. These state legislatures can say, we want a revote. We do not trust Dominion voting system, the voter registration irregularities, all these sorts of different things. A revote is absolutely necessary. Let's get this up on screen and make it full screen. I'll read it right here as it comes up right here.
Here it is.
You have it?
Mm-hmm.
Can you read it, Isabel?
Yep. Here's part of this signed affidavit. And like I said earlier, this is important for those not familiar with legal jargon. This is considered evidence in a court of law. So when the media tells you there's no evidence, this is evidence right in front of you.
And you went to Georgetown Law, didn't you?
I took a few law classes. I have not gone to law school yet, but I did go to Georgetown.
You have a master's degree from Georgetown. Yeah.
Took a few law classes. I'm on my way. I'm technically a 1L, so there you go. At approximately 4:30 a.m., I thought everyone was going to go home as our shift had ended. There were two men in charge of the counting, one in his 30s and one in his 50s. At approximately 4:30 a.m. on November 4th, 2020, the man in his 50s got on the microphone and stated that another shipment of absentee ballots would be arriving and would have to be counted. I heard other challengers say that several vehicles with out-of-state license plates pulled up to the TCF Center a little before 4:30 a.m. This is after Election Day on November 4th, and unloaded boxes of ballots. At approximately 4:30 a.m., tens of thousands of ballots were brought in and placed on eight long tables. Unlike the other ballots, these boxes were brought in from the rear of the room. The same procedure was performed on the ballots that arrived at approximately 4:30 a.m., but I specifically noted that every ballot I observed was cast for Joe Biden. While counting these new ballots, I heard counters say at least five or six times that all five or six ballots were for Joe Biden. All ballots sampled that I heard and observed were for Joe Biden. That's certainly possible, but statistically, it's astronomically improbable that something like that would happen.
Not even close. I mean,
within the realm of
possibility. I want all of you guys to flip a coin 100 times, and if you get heads all 100 times in a row, that's the chances of this happening.
Let alone tens of thousands, as we're seeing across the country with these overnight mysterious ballot drops.
So we have some of the numbers here. Tyler is blocking them, but that's okay. In Michigan, there were 69 to 150. No, it's okay. In Michigan, there were 69 to 115,000 people that just voted for Joe Biden.
Mm-hmm.
In Atlanta, Philadelphia, Detroit, and Milwaukee, they stopped counting. 100% ballot drops for Joe Biden. This would correlate. Guys, we're starting to put together all the evidence here. Let's go back to the main camera. We're starting to put together the evidence of the DOJ now has a very serious case where they can go in and present it to the U.S. Supreme Court and say our elections were compromised. And revotes have happened, and revotes can happen. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. I want to thank some people that are supporting us. Jamie from California, thank you. Ryan from Washington, thank you. Let me get through this list here.
Got some good ones on YouTube, too.
Ryan from Washington, want to name some people from YouTube that might have some
Bradley,
questions?
Yeah, Bradley, thank you. Thank you, Bradley. Send your questions and super chats, guys. Put your super chats on there.
Or email us, freedom@charliekirk.com.
We could do, we need a lot of tens. We need a lot of tens, a lot of $1, a buck to buck Biden here. Let's go. Let's throw it on there. Put your questions on there. We'll look at them. Lindsay, thank you so much. It looks like you contributed twice tonight. Thank you so much. We appreciate you. Big deal.
While we're waiting for your questions, Charlie, I want to circle back to something you just said about the number of people that only voted for Joe Biden. If this is your first time tuning into the Charlie Kirk Show this week, or you haven't heard this on the mainstream media, so far there have been 450,000 ballots discovered across America that only have a vote for former Vice President Joe Biden, not for Congress, not for Senate, not for any ballot initiatives. Again, I suppose it's theoretically possible that something like that were to happen, but statistically, that's very, very, very improbable, not even within the realm of of possibility. We've never seen something like that happen before in a United States election, and it's very concerning.
Can we talk about how screwed up this whole Arizona situation is now?
Take the floor.
Okay. So, all right, Arizona returns just came in, guys. For those of you from Arizona, it was a bad split. It was like a 50-50 split for Trump and Biden. They only counted 6,000 ballots. There's still a significant amount of remaining ballots, but this is a bad sign. And mm-hmm. the reason why it's a bad sign is because, you know, some of the language that was out there was that these are, you know, these are really clearly mixed ballots, lots of independents, things like that. So, but let me talk to you about what we discovered the last couple of days here in Maricopa County. And this will really get your goat a little bit here. So in Maricopa County, we have an interesting system. When I was county chairman for Maricopa County, I was in my 20s, and you have to go down there as the representative of the Republican Party to make sure that all of the ballots get counted appropriately. And how they do is we have these electronic systems. We've been talking about Dominion and mm-hmm. and all these, but the electronic systems are supposed to be verified with a hand tally. So basically, everybody here knows what a precinct is. A precinct is the smallest geographical unit for elections, for your boundaries. That's typically where how they separate polling places. So your precinct is typically where you vote. And how they do it in Arizona, how the state law reads, it's Arizona Revised Statutes, it's 16602, specifically stipulates that at least 2% of all precincts in a county have to be hand counted to validate the electronic voting machines. So what that means is that in Maricopa County, where we have over 700 precincts, 15 have to be validated in order to make sure that they match up to the electronics. Now, guess what happened? COVID happened, right? Mm-hmm. This magical thing called COVID happened this last year. Everyone was freaking out, running around going, well, we can't find places to have voting and we can't do in-person voting because people aren't going to show up, or churches won't host us and schools won't host us. All the schools are shut down where we normally have polling places. Well, guess what? They instituted what they call voting centers. And these voting centers, they said, you can vote anywhere you want. You don't have to vote in a precinct. You can vote anywhere you want across the entire county. And so when they did that, when they instituted that, what they didn't realize what would happen is that this hand count procedure that they have to do after the election to verify the vote, to make sure the machines actually work, now that's impossible. So now what they're doing is they're verifying the vote by the voting centers, mm-hmm. which tells us if the machines at the voting centers work, I guess. But what they're not able to tell us is, was an entire precinct accounted for? Why is this so important? Why this should make you like absolutely lose your mind if you're from Arizona, if you're from anywhere in the country, really, because this may be happening to you. I don't know. We haven't investigated it anywhere else.
We're the only ones investigating anything.
But literally, there's no one in the state
doing all the work.
There's literally no one in the state that brought this up. They're like, oh, yeah, it's not that big of a deal. No, it's a huge deal.
Yeah.
Because if all of a sudden votes went missing or votes got added,
right.
How the hell are we ever supposed to know? We would never know because we can't match up the physical ballots that they're supposed to randomly do the draw to test this out versus what was spit out on the electronic machine.
Well, that lines up too with this idea that we go to sleep saying there's 14,000 ballots left, and then we wake up saying there's 100,000 ballots still outstanding. I mean, that's all lining up exactly with that process.
So, I'm not alleging that anything bad has happened.
I will.
But I would say this is the state law in Arizona, Arizona Revised Statutes. Again, look it up for yourself. Those of you that are hanging out at home that are, you know, would-be lawyers, or you are better than law school, or if you're a lawyer, Arizona Revised Statute 16602 specifically stipulates that at least 2% of these ballots need to be verified by precinct, not by voting center. Mm-hmm. This should make you absolutely lose your mind. And those of you that are here, please contact the Board of Supervisors. Please.
In Arizona?
In Arizona. Contact the legislators. Contact the recorder and say, you guys need to verify the vote in precincts by 2% of precincts.
Yeah.
So here's a really interesting article from BBC. It says vote rigging, how to spot the telltale signs. So I love these kind of little bit older, not that old, it's 4 years old,
articles written by the activist media when they used to do real journalism.
Yep.
And you could use that against them. It's one of Saul Alinsky's rules, right? So this is about a country called Gabon, the third world, right? And it talks about voter fraud, which is a very common thing in the third world. And this article is super well done by taxpayer-funded British media, BBC. So let me tell you what their telltale signs from Gabon are for how they vote, how they spot voter fraud. So when these independent NGOs, non-government organizations, nonprofits go into the third world and they're trying to institute democracy, they use this grading scale to be able to tell whether or not voter fraud exists. Like these are the, this is like, oh, this doesn't happen, then our kind of our alert, our senses don't go up, we don't signal the alarm. Here's how you know if you have voter fraud. Number one, too many voters. Watch the turnout figures. They could be a big giveaway. You never get a 98 or 99% turnout. They say this, voting is compulsory in Gabon, but it's not enforced. Even in Australia where it's enforced, you can post vote by poster online. You could be fined for not voting. Turnout still only reaches 90 or 95%. Mm. 95% vote in Philadelphia. Number two, a high turnout in specific areas where all of a sudden you have high urban turnout. Mm. Number two, large numbers of invalid votes, such as absentee ballots, mail-in requests. Mm. Number, is that number two or number three? Oh, no, number four here. More votes than ballot papers issued. Huh, that sounds familiar. Number five, the results don't match. Mobile phones have made elections much more transparent. It is now standard practice to allow party agents and observers to see the vote counting process. The last one, my favorite. This is from the third world, okay? This is what people use to go into third world countries to see if they're committing voter fraud. Delay in announcing results.
Yeah, just wait.
They say this. Finally, something that is not necessarily a sign of rigging, but it's often assumed to be so and usually is.
Wait, what's happening in Arizona right now?
It's been a week.
They literally are taking their sweet time delaying the vote little by little. Why? What if they need Arizona to win?
Yeah.
What if they need, you know what I mean?
The fact that they can't even call the state of Alaska and the state of Nevada. I mean, these are small states. They should be able to count all of these ballots fairly quickly. Even here in Arizona, they're counting 17,000 at a time. 6,
yeah, but again, going back to like what I was bringing up. So if we have no way to verify the vote in any precinct, that they took that off the table. Who knows how long that's been off the table in the poor Midwest that's been getting abused by Democrats for decades now.
We're finally punching back.
Yeah, finally. But like, it's like, I'm telling you, never have seen anything like this before. That's taken off the table. They're messing around with the votes. They're keeping people from voting. They're voting with dead people, right? They're possibly ripping up and tearing up votes at the polling places as poll workers.
While people can't watch you.
Yeah, while people can't watch you do it. And they're like, oh, no, you can't. We have to take our time, kind of the rest of these ballots. We need to make sure.
That's what they do in Gabon. And I'm sure there's wonderful people there, but it's just also probably the third world, which it is.
AKA the USA.
So Beth Van Dyne won in Texas.
Woo!
We did a lot of work there.
Yeah, we were there. We were there.
Awesome.
Our 501c4 did a lot of work there. That's another pickup for Republicans, which is a really big win.
It's a lot of women winning for the Republicans.
Record number. A lot of women. It's exciting.
So I want to go into something that's super interesting right now, which is a transition. But before I do, I want to just say you guys can email us what you're seeing, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. And then I want to dive deeper into that Arizona thing. But I want to give you an exclusive update in the House of Representatives. By the way, this screams fraud. According to the Gabon Voter Integrity Guide, there definitely is something wrong that's happening here. Let me tell you why. The House of Representatives is going to be super tight. Let me read this behind you. Oh, yeah, the Gabon Voter Integrity Guide. Again, I'm not making fun of Gabon. I'm just saying that they wrote this whole article on how to spot fraud. It's too many votes, high turnout in specific areas, large numbers of invalid votes, more votes than ballot papers issued, results don't match, and delay in announcing results. I feel like I'm reading the news from the last week. Okay.
Gabonese.
So can I see this here, Tyler, for a second?
Yep.
So Republicans won 28 of 29 competitive House seats. We flipped three state legislators, and we did not lose a single House seat. I was just reading that because it's really good information. Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll go back to the top camera here. Okay, so let me tell you right now that there are still 10 undecided House races across the country, which is crazy that we can't count these ballots quicker. But Republicans are up in 7 out of 10 of them. The House of Representatives is going to be really tight, everybody, super tight. So let me go through some of these races right now. We won a South Carolina pickup district. Nancy Mace beat Cunningham, GOP pickup. We won in Oklahoma. I think we beat that UFC fighter. We won with 52% of the vote, Republican pickup. Mm-hmm. The Democrats picked up two in North Carolina only because of redistricting. But we picked up North Carolina, a New Mexico two, Minnesota seven with Fishbach, which we helped in that one.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Meyer District three, which we helped in that one.
Michelle, my best.
And Iowa District one, we helped in that one.
Yep.
Been picking some good ones.
We were in a lot of places.
Also, Elvira Salazar, which we
and helped. Elvira, which we were there. We knocked doors. It was sweaty as heck.
And Florida 26 we picked up. Now, there are still 10 undecided races, but 70% of them, 7 out of 10, are leaning Republican. Now, my friend Jim Oberweis is in a terrible recount battle in Illinois 14. They're stealing that from him.
Yeah.
It is an outright fraud.
Stealing.
But we are going to win in New York District 11. This is amazing to me. Nicole Malaatakis, she's a wonderful woman. She's up 15 points and they still haven't called the race. Claudia Tenney is up 11 points and they still haven't called the race in New York 22.
Wow.
Burgess Owens has taken a lead in Utah.
Burgess is going to win.
You think so?
Yeah. Ben McAdams is such a pencil neck loser.
Can we get a picture of Burgess Owens, please?
Back you heard
when he was,
it first.
And back when he was playing in the NFL.
I'm going to find a pencil. That, I mean, can you imagine? Burgess Owens would snap.
It's a huge pickup.
He would snap big Ben McAdams.
So Republicans have held every single House seat in the state of Texas. The big deal.
Oh, my gosh. Look at this guy.
Well, and that lines up with what everybody's been saying for the last several months from the conservative world, too. People are invested in House races. They're invested in who's running for mayor and city council and all of these more closer to home races because of everything that's been happening with the COVID-19 pandemic and the shutdowns and all of the regulations people have had to
put up. We
got to
pull up one of these pictures of dorky Ben McAdams, too. He's such a dork.
So Rand Paul, I think, wins the award for the tweet of the day. He says, your government sent 1.1 million dead people stimulus checks. Wonder how many of these folks also voted absentee.
Hmm.
By the way, it's hilarious. It's true.
True.
But here's the important thing, though.
It's crazy.
Is this keeps the drumbeat on. I'm telling you right now that this is how you get a revote from the U.S. Supreme Court. Public opinion matters. You going to rallies. You making your voice heard. You might think that, oh, the judges and the justices, they won't be affected. That's not true. Okay?
The court of public opinion has always mattered. It's very, very important.
They are human beings. Mm-hmm. They go to country clubs. They eat at restaurants. They have family members. They watch the news and they read the newspaper. And I think, can I show you, can you put up this court of public opinion thing right here? So this is hilarious, depressing, alarming, and troubling all at once. Okay? So this, I want you to look at this graph right here, guys. So this is the Democratic trust in the election systems rise at a Republican trust plummet. So back on October 26, looking on that chart, Republicans and Democrats equally trusted the elections. Look how Republicans trust our system now. That looked like the stock market once we shut down our country back in March.
Yeah.
Pooh. Now, why does this matter? Can we go back to the feed? The reason this really matters is that if you do not have trust in the system, then you don't have trust in the leaders.
Yep.
And then you don't have trust in the system that the leaders are governing. And that's a very dangerous sequence of events.
It's a scary place. But that's what they want.
Well, that's what we're seeing.
I think that part of them want that. I do actually think they want some semblance of something they can rule. I don't think they want a fractured kingdom to rule.
No, you know what? But that's not what Lenin believed.
It didn't work well for Lenin.
Yeah, it did. It worked out. They wanted to break the system so they could promise you more.
Well, I'll side with Charlie on this.
I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to say this. If you think the Democrat Party loves Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, you're absolutely wrong. They're willing to sacrifice those two losers to get their communist ends met.
I want to hear what Isabel has to say. And then,
The buzzword of the day on social media that everybody's been talking about is unity. And I think this word is very, very interesting because there's all these widespread calls for we must unify as a country. We can have unity. We can embrace unity. But we need to start asking ourselves, are they talking about cultural unity, in which case I absolutely support. The American experience has been about cultural unity, that regardless of all of our differences, we are e pluribus unum, out of many one. We are one nation under God. But that doesn't mean we have to think the same way. What I think all of these leftists are calling for is political unity, where we all have to think the same way because it is something that they can govern.
Intellectual unity.
Well, and here's what I think, though. I think that, Tyler, you're right. They do want a certain amount of differences so that they can get power. But I think that there is a level of fracturing where it becomes ungovernable.
Mm-hmm.
right, where they're not able to have any sort of power, and they're flirting on this.
Yeah, but
they're flirting on this line.
But think about what's happened in Minnesota. Think about what's happened in these places in San Francisco, where there is so much fracturing. They've burned down their cities. They run these cities already, currently, right?
Right. Well, you're right. I think, though, that there has to be a moment where what country do they actually want to rule, right? So they consider them the ruling class, yeah, right? They consider themselves the ruling class. Mm-hmm. They consider themselves wealthier and smarter, and we know more than you, and we're better people, and, you know, we know the right moral code to abide ourselves by. This is how they actually think of themselves, yeah, right? And so, but there comes a point of, do you actually want to govern a country that is completely
a wreck?
Yeah. Here's an interesting quote, though. Sun Tzu, the author of Art of War, yes, said,
love Sun Tzu.
He's the best. By the way, if you want to know exactly how to beat these people, read, yes, The Art of War, okay? It's, yes, phenomenal.
Yes.
He had one of the greatest quotes. He said, never underestimate a movement or man who is willing to burn down the country just to govern over the ashes.
Hmm. That's right.
That's poignant today.
If I've learned one thing in politics, though, and I've seen it on the right, too, by the way, I have watched, and we live in Arizona, and I'll just say this. I'm going to straight up and say it. You know, went toe-to-toe with the McCain group and with that whole clan.
You're still breathing.
You know who you are. I love you guys.
I don't think they're watching the live stream right
they
now.
They're probably not, but they're probably there might be one or two. I have seen over and over and over again these guys that just love control so much, they would rather control nothing than be not in control of everything. And
you mean
they'd rather
break the back of the system?
They'd rather destroy the party down to its to its bare bones and be in charge of it rather than invite everybody with differing thought,
yeah,
that have differences of opinion, that have different candidates that they support, and support them. And that's the scary difference between the big government psycho socialist model and the freedom lovers who we support, and that's what
So can we get a picture of Burgess Owens on screen?
Did we find Ben McAdams too as a nerd, total nerd? Here,
this is the great Burgess Owens. Burgess Owens is about to win a House seat in Utah. He's amazing. Let's go to the next slide.
What a man. Nerd, get him out of here.
The worst. So we'll lose. See who wins. How much voter fraud they have in Utah?
There's a lot of nerds in Utah. So
no, voter fraud.
Oh, sorry. Voter fraud. You know what? The people in Utah are so nice. They're more worried about, you know, ice cream fraud. And it's like more ice cream is consumed per capita in Utah.
So people are wondering what the citation is for this BBC article. We'll post it on charliekirk.com in the show notes of how to rig an election, which we are seeing every single one of these things being violated. Email us your questions, everybody. freedom@charliekirk.com. And yes, the DOJ is investigating, and you're part of that. The more that we have kept this drumbeat going, do you notice how a lot of these television networks have just stopped talking about anything with voter fraud or dead people voting or mail-in voting problems?
It's the same way they don't talk about Hillary Clinton because they're afraid of getting sued by everybody and their mom.
Well, we say allegedly here, right? We should just have the allegedly banner. This entire show is an alleged show.
Allegedly.
Right? Allegedly. Independently confirmed. So,
you know what allegedly happened today? They kick Kaylee McEnany right off TV. And
isn't that unbelievable?
She's literally America's sweetheart.
Mm-hmm.
You have a shirt with her.
I did. She tweeted at me on
election
day.
I saw that. That was awesome.
On election day, my name. But she's America's sweetheart. And I swear, if Neil Cavuto kicks Kaylee off again, I'm going to lose it.
So I want to reinforce the point that we were making earlier. No, it's fine. Can you put the chart
defend
back on
Kaylee
of people's faith in the system, please? So if the Democrats, all they care about power, if they only care about maximizing how much they are able to control over the rest of us, then this actually violates their goals. Because eventually this country will fracture. When you only have 30% of registered Republicans, you have 30, and that number is going down, that have faith in the system that then elects leaders, then you will have a country that then descends into rebellion. And I'm not, people say, oh, civil war. That's not what I'm saying. I think it's actually going to be a lot more nuanced than that. I think people are going to call for a national divorce. I think people might just say, I'm not going to pay my taxes. I think you're going to have 10 million people that say, I'm not going to pay my taxes this year. Come arrest all of us. And that sort of sequence of events is really, really bad for the fabric of our country. Now, here's where I will agree with you, though, Tyler. You know who wants that number to go down? China wants that number to go down. China wants 30% of Republicans to not have faith in the actually the American system.
Yeah, but that's...
That's Joe Biden.
I mean, I'm telling you this. I'll tell you this is right. These people are anti-American. I mean, the people that want to take over this country do not love America. They want this to be a completely different place. They would change the name. They would change our flag. They would
change the national anthem.
They would get rid of everything. That's what they're doing step by step. They hate everything about what they were born into, and they have no idea what's out there.
Well, that's what it's all about, though, at the end of the day, and why we're doing this, why we're doing the investigation, why we're talking about this stuff. For us, it's not just about who wins this election. I mean, that could go one way or another, honestly, and it's honestly up to anybody's grabs at this point. We'll see what the litigation process looks like. This is about preserving the free world and Western democracy and free speech and individual liberty.
That disappears
instantly if this does not continue to be talked about.
This is the fight for the entire civilization is what we're talking about right
now. Yeah,
here.
I mean, this is at the very heart of it. That's why the president's right. That's why everybody's so, and that's why it's so scary. This, you know, everybody was like, oh, there was a direct rejection of socialism with Bernie Sanders losing the nomination. No, you know what happened with Bernie Sanders? Bernie Sanders would have been the nominee had it not been for the Democrat machine. I'm telling you right now, there is not a direct rejection of socialism in this country. We are in an all-out war for those who love America, want to save the Constitution, want to support freedom and our civil rights, our civil right to worship, to say whatever we want, to do whatever we want, to lead whatever business we want. And these people who want to destroy absolutely everything, and they don't even actually have a clue why. What's scary about it on campus, we do this every day at Turning Point USA. Isabel knows, as a chapter leader, you'll start talking to people and you'll be like, well, why do you want to break the system? Like, what are you trying to destroy the system for? And they literally cannot tell you. I don't think I've had a single time where somebody has like just said, you know what? I actually think that, you know, this oppressive Marxist system would be a better system for me. And here's the reasons why. You never hear it.
No, you don't.
So breaking right now, Pennsylvania Republican House members tomorrow will call for a legislative-led audit of the 2020 election and demand election results not be certified nor electors be seated until the audit is complete. You guys did that. We helped start the drumbeat on this program. We had hundreds of thousands of viewers doing this, and people were saying, and they said, Charlie, the phone lines are melting over. Yeah. You did that. So when you support us at charliekirk.com/support, by the way, our podcast was number one in the news category yesterday.
Number one.
It's a big deal.
And number
That's
three.
That's a huge deal.
Number three in all of America.
And
we were beating Rogan for some time. So if you guys want to take out your phones and keep this rally going, because it's not just for you. If we want to get a revote and save our republic, I mean, do you see what Joe Biden's going to do on day one? Re-enter WHO. Now he's finally showing us what he's really going to do. You mind? Remember, he didn't run on any of this stuff. Now he's telling us who he really is.
Oh, of course.
Because he thinks he's president, and he's not president yet, everybody. Okay? We can have a revote. We can have lots of different options still on the table. Joe Biden says we're going to re-enter the Mexico City policy, rescind the Mexico City policy. They're going to restore funding to Planned Parenthood, re-enter the WHO, critical race theory in all departments of government immediately. And that's just on day one.
And national mask mandate and a lockdown task force. I mean, we could go on and on. And these are all questions that were refused to be answered in debate.
They're going to take your guns away, everybody.
Yep.
Okay, so then also breaking on Josh Kaplan, Arizona Republic. Arizona Senate President calls for independent analysis of voting data.
Yeah, I just looked at it.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, every one of these state legislators they're coming into action because of you.
I love Senate President Fan, but she's still almost there. She's almost there. They need to just follow the law. What she's calling for is increased. So that's the half step that we want, which is more ballots to be looked at. What we need to be looking at is specific precincts. If we ask for the precincts, they're going to have to check every single ballot
Correct.
In Maricopa County.
Yeah.
Well, and if we do that, I guarantee you we're going to find something.
Yeah.
So we should let them.
So look, here's the significance, everybody. If these state legislatures find the fraud that we know exists, that we absolutely know exists, then we are able to submit into the U.S. Supreme Court a request for a revote, and that can absolutely happen. The states can authorize a revote. Yep. Here's the really interesting thing is that the state legislature can authorize a revote. Yep. They can. Here's a really, really fascinating thing, that every state can appropriate their electoral votes however they want. For example, Maine does it by congressional district. So does Nebraska. So if Pennsylvania says, you know what? our legislature, well, and here's the problem, is the governor probably has to agree to it.
Yep.
But it would get gridlocked and then kicked into the courts. But President Trump has over 300 judges mm-hmm. in the federal courts. And we have to do this very quickly. And the U.S. Constitution says it's the state legislatures, not the governor's mansions, that actually seat the people to go and represent in the Electoral College. Because of this very complicated system that the founders designed, we have some checks and balances here that we can actually engage in.
We should talk about it a little bit.
And so do we have the cut from Ken Starr earlier this morning? We have the cut from Ken Starr that we can play. This is a very important piece of sound from the great Ken Starr. He sits on the honorary board at Turning Point USA. Before we get to that, I want to thank Greg from Indiana. I want to thank John from Illinois. I want to thank Schaumburg, Illinois. I know Schaumburg quite well. I want to thank Michael from South Carolina and Kara from Michigan for supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. Can we go to the Ken Starr that talks about the states? That's the one. Do we have it? Let's play it. Thank you.
Or most likely is that the Supreme Court will now do its duty in the Pennsylvania case, because it was very clear from the outset that what the governor did and what the state Supreme Court did was utterly unconstitutional. So it's a lawless act. And at this stage, the Supreme Court has a solemn duty, in light of the nature of the issue and the stakes at hand, has to take the case.
So this is exactly why the U.S. Supreme Court must act on this and authorize a revote in every single one of these states. Again, revotes have happened before in our country. And some people say that's radical and that's dramatic. Do you want to know what's radical and dramatic? Stealing an election from 71 million people. That's radical and dramatic. Do we have the continuing sound from Ken Starr? Now listen to this one.
And what happened in Pennsylvania over these recent weeks is a constitutional travesty. Happily, in recent days, we've seen Justice Samuel Alito step in as a single justice. He has the power to do it. And essentially, in a very short order, say the legislature is the boss. What the governor did, this is my interpretation, is utterly unconstitutional. What the Pennsylvania Supreme Court did is utterly unconstitutional. It's just clear.
So if what Ken Starr is saying is correct, now remember, Ken Starr, he has argued cases before the U.S. Supreme Court. Ken Starr was special counsel looking into the Clinton crimes in the 1990s and really led the fight of the Clinton impeachment. Ken Starr was one of President Trump's lawyers defending him against impeachment this time. Mm-hmm. Yes. And Ken Starr is on the honorary board of Turning Point USA, former head of Baylor University. And Ken Starr is not one to engage in any form of alarmism. He's a very understated man. I think that's an important point to mention here. And Ken Starr is now saying what Pennsylvania did is utterly unconstitutional. Just so that everyone's clear, Clarence Thomas, Alito, Kavanaugh, Amy Coney Barrett, they could throw out the election results in Pennsylvania and say, we need a whole revote in
Start
Pennsylvania.
Over.
They could.
Start
Absolutely.
Do over. Swipe left.
That's right. We're done.
Swipe left on Pennsylvania.
And so it is the U.S. Supreme Court, because of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and wouldn't it be just delicious irony if all this came back because of her unconstitutional rulings? Ruth Bader Ginsburg really set the precedent, and she mm-hmm. followed the precedent of the Warren Court and the Burger Court of not making the U.S. Supreme Court the analyzers and the interpreter, that's the right word, the interpreters of the law.
Right.
Instead, they started to write law. For example, Roe versus Wade. The Burger Court, I believe, ruled on Roe versus Wade. Is that right? It was the Burger Court? I always get it. It's either Burger or Warren. I think it's the Burger Court. The Burger Court ruled on Roe versus Wade. Now, while we all believe that life begins at conception, that life begins in the womb, Roe versus Wade was not even about that. First of all, they didn't have the science available. They didn't have the ultrasound technology. What it was really about was overturning state law for a federalized abortion legalization. What do I mean? There were 15 states that had abortion laws on the books that said there are no abortions allowed. If you wanted to actually legalize abortion, then go through the congressional, go through the legislative branch, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Go through Article 1.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a very important point, because Now that the U.S. Supreme Court for multi-decades have overturned past law and just by on the state level, then now the Supreme Court has the precedent to go in and say this election is invalidated because you did not allow court observers, you did not allow absentee ballots to go through the right process, revote. The U.S. Supreme Court, everybody, could order a national revote. You want to see the left lose their mind? They could order a national revote.
Yeah.
It's not out of the question. It would certainly be unprecedented, but it's not out of the question.
Well, let's talk about – so let's go through because I think a lot of people really – I mean, I love everybody that's here. We've got 20,000 on YouTube.
That's a lot.
Awesome.
We got 20,000 really smart people on YouTube right now. But most people don't realize how the electoral system works.
Right.
And I talk about this all the time with close friends and family. It's like, do you know who elects the president? They're like, I do. No, you don't. No, you don't. Actually, how it works is very simple, is that we have this electoral college. I know we all have heard about the electoral college. Individuals who are put into place by the legislature.
You're an elector for Trump.
No, I was an elector on the ballot. So each state has a different
process,
method, right?
Yeah.
So I was on the ballot to be democratically elected in Arizona to be a Republican elector for the state. So technically, when people were voting, they weren't voting for Donald Trump. They were voting for me and 10 other electors. And so, you know, technically, if we lose Arizona, it'll be the 11 of us that lost Arizona. But, you know, we're obviously representing the president. We've mm-hmm. vowed to vote for the president if we get elected. And so that's how it works. And each state's a little bit different. So each state has a little bit different rules on how they elect electors. Now, some states actually have rules, too. That's why you saw 4 years ago, if you remember, there were a few people that were they would call wandering electors that voted for other people than Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump. And so technically, if you're an elector, you could vote for yourself and you could get one electoral mm-hmm. vote, which would put you on the map for, you know, one of the some odd people.
But why did the founders put in this system?
Yeah. That's
well, why don't we talk about that? So what's the difference between the judiciary, the legislative branch, and the executive branch? I mean, why don't
what's
you tell
the difference?
Us?
I mean, well,
why don't you tell us as well?
Well, it all comes down to the primary responsibility of each branch, right? It's the interpretation of laws versus enforcing the laws versus writing the laws. And honestly, it's very depressing to me. I don't know if you guys have seen more data that came out this week. I read something that less than 50% of Americans can actually name what the three branches of government are,
including
let alone
AOC.
What they do, by the way. So terrifying. Meanwhile, over 50% can name all three judges on American Idol. So in case you're wondering where our priorities are.
Lie
with all of that. That's pretty depressing. But honestly,
including AOC. AOC couldn't name all.
Could
three
not
branches.
Name all three branches.
She said
of
the
government.
Three. Where are the three branches of government? It's the president, the Senate, and the House.
Yep,
that's what she said. So
on
well,
live TV,
so
if I remember correctly,
each role of government is actually, and this is, they all have the same role, which is to protect natural rights.
Correct.
So they all have the same role, but different ways to do that, mm-hmm. right? So the judiciary is supposed to make sure that your natural rights don't get violated by the legislative or by the executive. The executive is to make sure that your natural rights don't get violated by the legislative. Most people cannot tell you what the role of government is.
No.
The role of government is to protect your natural rights.
That's it.
To make sure that some criminal does not kill you. And if they do, they're going to spend the rest of their life behind bars. That's the idea of government. Civil government is to protect your natural rights and rules for the road for first and foremost for government. Now, the reason that we set up this electoral college system is first and foremost to prevent against all this nonsensical fraud. Now, believe it or not, everybody, the founding fathers gave us a system where we can still save ourselves from all of this fraud.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to imagine something. What if the founding fathers just gave us a national popular vote? None of this stuff would matter. We'd have no rights of recourse on this at all. But because that the state legislatures and the Supreme Court might get involved in this,
mm-hmm.
now there's a system because of the decentralization of elections. Because of the decentralization of elections, there is now a way that we might be able to order a revote from the U.S. Supreme Court in each one of these states. Let's play this clip right here. Joe Biden might have a nice taste of revenge from the one and only Clarence Thomas, Thomas vote.
I hope he lives forever.
Play tape.
Privately or in a closed environment. This is a circus. It's a national disgrace. And from my standpoint, as a black American, as far as I'm concerned, it is a high-tech lynching for uppity blacks who in any way deign to think for themselves, to do for themselves, to have different ideas. And it is a message that unless you kowtow to an old order, this is what will happen to you. You will be lynched, destroyed, caricatured by a committee of the U.S. Senate rather than hung from a tree.
We will have...
Yeah. He was just as confused then as he is now. This race is not over, everybody. The U.S. Supreme Court, Article 3 of the U.S. Constitution, exists for a reason. Go read Federalist 48, read Federalist 51, and go read Federalist 57. The Founding Fathers put the U.S. Supreme Court in there as a way to check all the others and just say, we got to calm down the temperature here. Madison said it best when he was designing the U.S. Constitution, is against the tyranny of the majority, everybody. The U.S. Supreme Court has it within their power to authorize a revote in Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Georgia, Arizona. The state legislatures should all recommend it, and the state legislatures should all submit recommendations to the U.S. Supreme Court saying, we do not feel confidence in our system, in the way that we did the voting in our state, we order a revote.
Well, and that's why the Electoral College was set up, too, to protect against that very thing, the tyranny of the majority, and why all of us should be so concerned with this movement that's growing so much popularity across the country to invalidate the Electoral College by just automatically giving electoral votes to the winner of the national popular vote. That's a big movement that's gained a lot of traction in my home state of Colorado, in other historically swing states across the country. And it's this idea that the tyranny of the majority should be what's regulating the future of elections in our country.
That's right. And so now that you have bad actors and pseudo criminals that have infiltrated and interfered in our election, then the U.S. Supreme Court and the courts can and should get involved. Remember, judges should have no bias. They should have no discrimination and no prejudice. That's why judges wear all black. Judges are supposed to just strip themselves of all earthly bias. That's why the graphic that we use for the Justice Department in our country, or at least in some of the symbology, is a woman, is a lady justice who is blind to the biases of the world with a scale, and the scales of justice are supposed to even out. And it says very clearly in Proverbs 11, and I don't want to overly religialize this, but a lot of this stuff is spiritual, everybody. A lot of this stuff is spiritual. I was just reading last night the Bible. I was like, Lord, just give me words of what is going on here. And Proverbs 11 just popped open. It says, the Lord detests dishonest scales, but accurate weights find favor with him. Proverbs 11:1. And that's, by the way, 11 is a biblical number. It's a very, very important biblical number. I really believe that the spiritual aspect of this is something that we cannot forget about. You stay prayerful. You stay involved. You go to church. And if your church is not open, you find another church. And your pastor should be talking out against this outright treachery and fraud. So when Dante wrote the Dante wrote this, the different levels of hell, do you know what the most bottom level of hell is? The worst thing that he thought that you could do? It's treachery. And that's exactly what this is. It's deceit. Because here's the problem of what the left did to all of you. And we can go through all the deadly sins that Dante argued, and they're phenomenal. And they're phenomenal in the analysis. They're obviously tragic. But it's very important, because what happened is all of you guys went to sleep on Tuesday night and you were stabbed in the back, just like Julius Caesar was betrayed. You were betrayed by your system is what happened. When you went to sleep at 1 a.m. on election night, someone in Fulton County was scanning in fraudulent ballots. Treachery will not be rewarded. It won't. And that's why I really believe that this fight is more than just a political fight. It's more than just a civilizational fight. It is a fight of good versus evil.
And truth versus lies. Honestly, we're not advocating for a partisan tilt one way or another in the Supreme Court. We're advocating for truth to come to light and all of us to see what's happening right before our eyes and validate that for what is real and what is rooted in reality.
It all comes full circle, too, because as you brought up Dante's
Inferno
with the first circle of hell. One of my favorite books ever. We brought up Solzhenitsyn the other day.
Alexander Solzhenitsyn.
Gulag
Archipelago.
Who wrote
the top bunk
Gulag,
in the
Gulag Archipelago. He also wrote my favorite book, which is called In the First Circle, or The First Circle in English. And The First Circle was what he entitled it, was because that was what life was like in the Soviet Union, which was that you basically were trapped in this hell. You can never get out, because the first circle was also known as, you know, the limbo state, right, in Dante's Inferno. and you were in, but you couldn't get out. You were a part of the system, but you can never get up in the system. And one of the things that's most memorable in that book that I think about all the time, I literally think about all the time as it applies to our government today, was they would be carrying people to gulags, right? Mm-hmm. They literally would be carrying to gulags, and there's a portion of this book, but it would be in like milk and bread trucks. Mm. So the truck on the side would say bread, right? And everyone would be like, oh, so everyone would be walking through the city like normal, like, oh, there's the bread truck. And inside, really, we're prisoners going to the gulag, right? Yeah.
Yes.
And that's how they covered it up. And that's what's happening right now, what we're seeing with this entire election fraud. We're seeing with how the Democrats view you and I as citizens, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Bringing it up all the time. Is that it doesn't matter. As long as we can cover it up, no matter how thin the cover is, that's the hell that they want us to live in.
Well, and so I want to be very clear to everybody that we will not stop fighting on this program at Turning Point Action and within however we can do it at Turning Point USA for truth.
Yep.
Because we know what's coming next. Mm-hmm. Hey, Connor, can you pull up Michelle Obama's tweet? I know Connor's running around. We have Greg Jarrett actually coming momentarily to tell us about legal remedies on voter fraud. He is the leading expert on this, New York Times number one bestseller. He's going to Skype in a second. But I want Michelle Obama and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's tweet. And for any of you that don't believe the stakes of what is going on right now, go to TrumpAccountability.net. TrumpAccountability.net starts with remember what they did. We must never forget those who furthered the Trump agenda. It says we should not allow the following groups of people to ever profit from their experience. They're talking about a hit list, everybody. Those who elected him, those who staffed his government, those who funded him. They're going to come after all of us. Yeah. They're going to come after the organizations. They're going to come after the entities and the people. And guess what?
Totally.
That's why we signed up for this. And so when you guys support us and you guys get behind us, your prayers, your thoughts, your financial support, it's not insignificant because right now this is a refiner's fire. Yeah. Right? Right now is a refiner's fire. Who's actually going to step up and do something about this? And you know what's amazing? Have you all started to see the temperature rise the last 24 hours? McConnell's coming out. State legislators are coming out. Over the weekend, it was like this coronation. Lindsey Graham's all of a sudden like dead people are voting, dogs are voting, right? And Lindsey, here's the thing about Lindsey Graham.
Base Lindsey last year is nothing to base Lindsey today. He's like,
true.
Oh, put it
we're at 3.0 now.
I'm glad Lindsey Graham won. Okay, Jamie Harrison would have been a train wreck. But Lindsey Graham is nothing more than a play actor, okay? He's a less good-looking Tom Cruise. Okay, he will do whatever the script tells him. Oh, the base thinks that there's dead voters. I think that there are dead voters voting all over the country, and Trump should run for a second term, a third term, a fourth term. And while you're at it, let's go arrest Hillary Clinton. Did I do that okay? And I love Lindsey. He's a great guy, okay? But he does what he is told to do. And that's the way a lot of these politicians are. You guys hold the power.
Yeah.
And this new paradigm of politics that this hero named Donald Trump started in our country by coming down the golden escalator is boom, all of a sudden he gave you guys the power. And that's post-Trump, right, whether he ends up getting inaugurated or not, you're actually more important in this process than you ever have been.
Well, that's why Trump represents such a threat. And I got asked so many times today, why does the left hate this individual so much? Why is it about this individual? It's not. It's not about President Donald Trump. He represents you. He represents this idea of taking down an elite ruling class that's been in power for longer than twice the time that I've been alive, which is very frightening to think about. But these people don't want to give up power. They don't want to listen to the people of our country.
Well, no, and their religion, right? So their religion, all of us believe in God. Their religion is power, mm-hmm, right? Their religion is leftism. So the way that they find their value, the way that they find their meaning, their connection, is how much do we control? And you can see it in Chuck Schumer. You can see it in Nancy Pelosi's speeches. Them doing the Eucharist is like them going giving a speech on the House floor. Seriously. And they have a religious experience when they are able to pummel conservatives. And we have to understand that this right now of what we are doing in our country is a fight of good versus evil. It really is. And this is the fight of whether or not we are going to shatter when the evil presents itself. Okay, is this Michelle Obama? Can you also send this as well to me? Because I can't see this. Can you just send it on the chat? I just can't see it. Thank you. Okay, pull it up on the screen. So Michelle Obama was former First Lady of the United States. And instead of celebrating, this is such an important point, everybody, instead of them celebrating with gratitude and with dignity, they immediately start talking about punishing us. Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable. Listen to this. I'm beyond thrilled that my friend Joe Biden, I don't think this is the right tweet. This is not the right tweet. The right tweet is the one that came after this where she said, we will never forget the people that voted there. Is it in that one?
It's in the thread of this tweet. Yep.
Is it? It's a little further down, isn't
it? Yeah. She wrote quite the litany of
tweets. Can you
here.
Read it, Isabel?
Yes. Let's find exactly.
It's a little bit further down where she says, we shall never forget the millions of people that supported hate and outrage, and we will...
So she says verbatim, let's remember tens of millions of people voted for the status quo, even when it meant supporting lies, hate, chaos, and division. We've got a lot of work to do to reach out to these folks in years ahead and connect with them on what unites us. There's that word unity again. It's been the buzzword of the day.
By the way, so what's happening here right now is gaslighting. We've been through gaslighting before on the Charlie Kirk Show.
Totally.
If you guys want a download on what gaslighting is, take out your phone, get in the podcast provider, type in Charlie Kirk Show. We've gone deep into what gaslighting is. Here's how gaslighting works. Isabel, you ready to demonstrate gaslighting?
Absolutely.
Let's pretend you're eating some cookies, and I come up to you, I say, how many cookies are you eating? You will say, I've eaten 6, when you really ate 10.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Here's how gaslighting works. I come up, and Isabel's eating cookies, I say, how many cookies have you been eating? And she's obviously eating cookies. And she says, I'm not eating cookies. You ate the cookies.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, no, I didn't eat any cookies. And you say, no. Not only that, you're a racist and you hate your country. No, you're eating the cookies and I love America. So gaslighting is actually off of a 1930s play about 1880s London. I get the years confused. It's about an abusive husband who turns down the light in the flat, in the London flat, slowly, that it drives the wife psychologically insane. This is what they are doing to us, where they say, we want to unify the government. Oh, by the way, we're going to audit you and punish you. Let's put up AOC on the screen right here.
Yeah.
AOC says, is anyone archiving these Trump sycophants for when they downplay or deny their complicity in the future? I foresee decent probability of many deleted tweets, writings, and photos in the future. You couple that with a TrumpAccountability.net, Jennifer Rubin, who says that we must, burn the entire country to the ground. It's unbelievable. Should burn the Republican Party to the ground. I'm sorry.
And I find it really ironic. This is the side, allegedly, that for the last 4 years has said Trump supporters are evil. Trump supporters hate what is good and what is righteous. They're interested in doxing you and coming after you. And it's scary. It's scary. You should be afraid. This is terrifying. This is the stuff of 1984 of George Orwell. This is not okay. And they're encouraging your neighbors, your family members, your employer, your professor in your college classroom to come after you because you wore a red hat and you voted a certain way in a presidential
election. This is the gangsterization of our government. It really is. This is the mafiosoization. I don't know if that's a word, but gangsterization is. I want to read this question right, this comment right here. You have inspired me, Charlie Kirk. I thought I was a Democrat until Trump ran. It opened my eyes. Mm-hmm. I will never vote Democrat again. Thank you for opening my eyes and giving the people hope and fight.
Wow.
Thank you, Anthony. I'd love to send you a signed copy of my book. I'm going to forward this to my team right now. We're going to send you a signed copy of the MAGA Doctrine. And if there are any other former Democrats watching right now, if you email us, freedom@charliekirk.com, that you're subscribed to our show, we're going to give out 15 books, signed books, to former Democrats right now. I love learning about former Democrats. Okay, we have Greg Jarrett on the line here. Can we get Greg Jarrett up here, who is one of the top legal minds in the country? Greg, can you hear me?
I can hear you, Charlie. Can you hear me okay?
Yes. Can we see Greg? Can we get him up on the screen? Is that possible? Okay, he's on the stream. That's all that matters. Greg, there's a lot of questions about voter fraud and what's happening in our country right now. Can you just give us the legal analysis of what you see happening right now in our country?
Well, not all votes that are lawfully cast have been fully counted. And not all ballots that were unlawfully cast have been discounted. And until that time happens, it doesn't matter what the media says or does. They can declare, Pee Wee Herman, the president of the United States. The media is as irrelevant as they've always been. And, the problem is that we now are beginning to see evidence. I love the constant refrain I hear from journalists on television. Where's the evidence? Where's the proof? Evidence and proof in the law are two very different things. There is evidence in the form of hundreds of affidavits that have been gathered by Republican legal team as well as the Trump campaign legal team that are being presented in lawsuits to the court. affidavits and eyewitnesses are evidence. So evidence exists. Proof is a legal standard that judges then employ to determine whether or not certain ballots should be thrown out, perhaps by the thousands, and whether other ballots should be included that were not originally counted. And so there are some material differences in these narrow battleground states where the difference between Biden and Trump is razor thin. It's paper thin. And, you know, the media wants to anoint Joe Biden as the next president of the United States. And in the rush to do so, they're making a call that I think is inappropriate and wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, just listen to Hillary Clinton, who counseled Joe Biden, no matter what, under any circumstances, should you concede. So why is it wrong for the president of the United States, Donald Trump, not to concede until a full accounting is had so that we can have trust and transparency and honesty and integrity in the voting system?
So Greg, what are the possible remedies for this? We've gone through all the evidence here tonight, and there's plenty. A 1,774% increase in voters over the age of 90 in the state of Pennsylvania during a pandemic. 9,000 people in Nevada that allegedly voted out of state. President Trump doing better in every single urban area across the country except the targeted battleground states. Atlanta, Philadelphia, Detroit, Milwaukee stopping to count their votes. 500,000 people that voted just for Biden. Is there a possible chance that the Supreme Court or a federal court is presented with some of this evidence, especially of these sworn affidavits and people that just came in and said they saw thousands of ballots coming in? What are the remedies? What can a court do in a situation like this?
The court can issue an order directing the election boards, for example, in Pennsylvania, not to count ballots received on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Remember what happened in Pennsylvania. The legislature passed a law that said all ballots to be counted as valid must be received by the election boards no later than 8 p.m. on Tuesday night, November 3rd, the day of the election. So Democrats went to the elected judges on the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, elected, mind you, and convince them to tear up the law and become super legislators themselves. And these Democrats on the Pennsylvania Supreme Court capitulated. They invented out of thin air a new law that said, forget about what the legislature passed. We're going to now tell you you can count votes on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Now, Republicans knew that that was wrong. It's a usurpation of power. It's a separation of powers. It's unconstitutional. And they went to the U.S. Supreme Court, and unfortunately, John Roberts sided with the liberal justices and refused to hear the case. Not once, Charlie, but twice. Now, the case is still pending, and we just saw a couple of days ago that Samuel Alito, whose jurisdiction covers Pennsylvania, issued an order segregate those Wednesday through Friday mm-hmm. ballots so that they can either be not counted at all or discounted from your original count. So this case could, as you point out, end up in the U.S. Supreme Court. And you know, this is such a no-brainer that they would strike down the Pennsylvania Supreme Court. Now with a majority, Amy Coney Barrett on the high court, I mean, I would envision that tens of thousands of Pennsylvania ballots would be tossed out. That changes dramatically, Charlie, the electoral equation.
It does, and it wouldn't just be for Pennsylvania. I mean, the Supreme Court could hear multiple cases regarding this. For example, what if poll watchers were not allowed to be present in Fulton County, Georgia, or in Arizona, or in Michigan? I mean, the Supreme Court has, again, a lot. They have to come at this as judges, of course, not as political operatives. But myself looking at this as obviously someone who wants to see the president reelected, the Supreme Court could be presented with a lot of compelling evidence here, Greg, of voting irregularities and fraud and affidavit requests. And we saw back in 2019, Greg, you might remember the North Carolina Board of Elections ordered a revote in the congressional race last year, 2019, where they said, we're going to do a revote. We're not going to seat anybody. And so the idea of a revote
is not necessarily out of the realm of recent historical possibility. And Greg, here's my concern, is that people are now losing faith in the entire electoral system. And when people lose faith in the entire electoral system, they're going to lose faith in the system that they're going to lose faith in the people that then get elected by that system. And even worse, they're going to lose faith in the country. And so I think it's imperative that we get to the bottom of this, you know, election voter fraud nonsense. Bill Barr's looking into this. That was just announced today. What do you think might materialize from that?
Well, he's given the green light to federal prosecutors to investigate this stuff. And I wrote down here, I'm just looking at my other computer, what we know so far. There is evidence in the form of a sworn affidavit from a postal worker that late ballots, so we're talking thousands of these, Charlie, were backdated to help Joe Biden. There's eyewitness testimony about falsified ballots, ballots in which Democratic operatives were actually filling in the votes cast. There's sworn affidavits presenting allegations of widespread irregularities, even fraud. You've got dead people who are allegedly voting, ballots with signatures that don't match, and yet they have been counted. You've got people who moved out of the state and were voting in their former state. That's illegal. You've got these statistical aberrations that are so extreme, they are literally, Charlie, impossible.
Yes.
In Michigan, this is really important. You've got faulty election software that counted thousands of Trump votes for Joe Biden. Now, that was caught. But that software is used in dozens of states. So how many times was it not caught and thousands of ballots were given to Joe Biden that were actually cast for Donald Trump? So, you know, federal prosecutors have a lot of work cut out for them to look at conduct that may be criminal. And then, you've got the other category of legal challenges before federal judges, and that has to be, I mean, there has to be a hearing, there has to be evidence presented, and then there has to be a ruling by those judges as to how the election board should recount those votes, and this time, Charlie, making sure that poll watchers can actually
yes.
watch. If you're 20, 40, 100 feet away, you can't even see the ballot with binoculars. Got to be able to see not just the ballot, but the votes cast, the votes tabulated, the signature on the ballot, the envelope itself. I covered the 2000 presidential contest down in Florida. I was down there for more than 30 days. And I was there and watched the poll watchers literally sitting 2 or 3 or 4 feet away across from the table of the person counting a ballot, and that individual would turn the ballot around and put it in front of the face of the poll watcher. That's the sort of trust and reliability and verification that is demanded.
Yes, and none of that has existed, and they've been doing all this in secrecy. And so do you think a judge could possibly come in and say this was just not followed? And what would the possible remedy be? I mean, we're just speculating. But, I mean, we have seen some judges, by the way, Greg, act against Trump totally unilaterally. I mean, the amount of power that some of these judges have employed against Trump in the last couple of years on travel ban stuff, on border wall funding has been extreme. And yet what we're just asking here is for a singular federal judge to make sure that these elections have been operated with some form of integrity for the betterment of the American system. What is the timeline on all this, Greg? Because some people say it might take too long. What do you think is a realistic timeline here?
Well, the electors would meet December 15th, and there's sort of a preliminary deadline of certification. I think it is December 8th. So there is time for this to happen, and of course, it occurred in Florida in 20 years ago. The problem is that a judge can, for example, issue an order to Pennsylvania, recount all of those votes. And yes, Sam Alito has issued an order from the Supreme Court, segregate the late ballots from the on-time ballots. But that order may have been too late because those ballots may have been commingled already and the envelopes with postmarks may have been discarded already. We have eyewitness testimony to that effect that has been presented in one lawsuit. So, you know, it's very difficult. You know, people who have been operating in these polling places and counting ballots by the election boards may already have destroyed evidence of illegality and impropriety.
And how there was not Department of Justice investigators right there from the Election Crimes Unit or the Civil Rights Division is incredible to me. And one last question here, Greg. I'm just curious. It's a little bit unrelated, but it's related. And it's regarding how these people continue to think they can get away with it. I have a theory. The fact that Durham's report was not released and that we did not hold these top-level Democrats accountable only further emboldened them to continue to do schemes like this. Do you think that we're going to get a Durham report ever? We're post-election. What is going on there? It's a little unrelated, but I think it's important, Greg, because if these people think they can continue to get away with it, our imagination is no limit to what they'll actually do.
I agree with you, Charlie. It did embolden them, and that's tragic, and it's wrong. I understand that COVID interfered and slowed down U.S. Attorney Durham's investigation. I've always been skeptical that there's going to be a quote-unquote Durham report. I think more likely is that there will be additional indictments. There's been one already and a guilty plea, but you know that's not enough.
It was a slap on the wrist. It was a procedural crime. Yeah.
It really was. And so, you know, I do think that Durham and Barr made a conscious decision not to issue any indictments 30 days before the election. To prevent the accusations that they were trying to influence the election. But I would expect sometime, you know, in the next 2 months, Durham to conclude his investigation and issue additional indictments.
Well, I hope so, because it only if there would have been indictments back in April or May to Strzok, to Page, to Brennan or Clapper or any of these people that did this, I don't think that a lot of these voting schemes would have allowed to. I really don't. When you problems that are not confronted multiply, and if they think they have the better side of the Department of Justice, they will not stop. Greg, what is your book that people can help support you? It's terrific.
Thank you very much. The latest book is called A Witch Hunt, the story of the greatest mass delusion in American political history. You can order it online at Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com. It's still in bookstores across the nation. And, you know, to button this up with that very subject, you know, for 4 years, the media and Democrats tried to destroy Donald Trump. They argued he stole an election by colluding with Russians. It was all a lie. It was actually fabricated by Hillary Clinton. And now the great irony is, unless we can straighten out what's happening now and get an honest result, then, you know, Joe Biden will be saddled with the same sobriquet that hobbled Donald Trump for the last 4 years. He will be viewed by 70 million Americans, half the population, as an illegitimate president. And by the way, that may be correct.
And that's not good for the country. That's not good for the republic. It's not good for anyone to have half the country not believe. And by the way, I do not believe right now, I'm saying it, I've said it, that based on all available data, that there is not some form of treachery that was involved here. I want my doubts to be alleviated so that I can actually believe that maybe he won and we lost. I don't believe that. And when people like I don't believe that, and our whole team and activists, then it's going to be hard for him to govern because we're going to say, you know what? Maybe they just got more votes than us by knowing the machinery. Greg, thank you so much for joining us tonight. We really appreciate it. Keep up the great work. Thank you.
Charlie, my pleasure. Thanks.
Thanks. So were you able to hear that?
No.
Okay. So you're just flying blind on that. Were you?
Yeah, I was watching a little bit delayed. You're not
on
finished
the YouTube
yet?
YouTube.
Oh, yeah. So Greg was talking about And we finished with the, you know, the indictments and not holding people accountable. But before that, he said that there are many legal remedies that could come forward. The problem is just time, and they're just going to try to tie up a lot of this stuff in the courts. But this is why I think the U.S. Supreme Court and the state legislatures need to step up. The state legislatures are the key. So Arizona, do you think that the state legislatures – we should do a whole thing out here demanding the state legislature – does an audit, recount, and you have dominion here.
Again, to the point that we brought up earlier, the state legislature, per the Constitution, is responsible for the determination of who
electors
becomes an elector. Here in Arizona, they've basically kicked that off to say that the electors will be those who get voted on here in Arizona. Whatever. But the point is that the legislators have a huge responsibility to ensure that justice is seen through in each individual state to make sure that the correct president of the United States gets elected. And that is the task right now. I mean, right now, there's a big question. And so people here locally should be really interested in making sure the legislators have that clear understanding that it's their responsibility to make sure the right people get elected.
Well, and so it is the last line of defense is where we rose up and we gave Republicans the state legislature, and it's also the U.S. Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. And look, we have been stunned by U.S. Supreme Court decisions before. We were stunned on the gay marriage decision where the U.S. Supreme Court came in and overthrew any sort of state law, and they just said, you know what, we are going to have a national gay marriage mandate, whatever, fine. And what that did is it overthrew the will of the people state by state. They did that with Roe versus Wade. There's a and the U.S. Supreme Court, they should be textualist in nature always. They should be as the law is written and it was originally intended. Mm-hmm. But they should never tolerate ever the undermining of our republic. Ever.
Well, the amazing piece of all of this, and Tyler, you hit the nail on the head with three little words, per the Constitution. Amazingly, this isn't going to take some magical act of judicial activism that the left is always advocating for. And frankly, why they were so concerned with an appointment from Amy Coney Barrett, because there's automatically an assumption that judicial activism is going to take place, as it has for the past several decades at the Supreme Court and every other level of our court system. This is constitutionalism 101. This is determining really what the original intent in the United States Constitution was from our founding fathers, from the framers of the Constitution and that document, and then deciding what laws and what laws are not unconstitutional. So that's really the big question here.
I completely agree. And, you know, in a lot of different ways, the way that we the way that the Constitution is written is a decentralized document. Remember, the states created the federal government. The federal government did not create the states.
That's right.
So this is a state-run system for first and foremost. Mm-hmm. And so if the states who overwhelmingly voted for Donald Trump that are now being put in the line of this, such as Ohio, such as Pennsylvania, all these other – I mean, Pennsylvania is the one that's probably the key to all of this. And Arizona. Yeah. They're going to say, we're not going to seat electors, and Joe Biden will not become president. You don't seat electors, you got a real problem.
Well, and that's what everybody's afraid of now, right, is because if the electors don't get seated, what happens?
It's never happened before.
Well, it goes to Nancy Pelosi, right?
Well, yeah. If you don't hit the appropriate amount, right? So certain states don't seat electors, and it has happened before. Actually, during the Civil War times, believe it or not, we were like, the entire South can't have electors. Like, you guys are out for elections. So it has happened before where people don't seat electors. It hasn't happened in recent history because everybody's had their act together. But right now, it looks a lot like some states don't have their act together. I mean, look, Arizona's not even done freaking counting, right?
There's
like,
still 80,000 ballots almost, Governor Ducey still, just said.
Yeah, and they're not even sure who's going to win. So, look, if they don't have 270, then what happens is exactly what Charlie said in the, per the Constitution, is it goes to the Congress. And they don't want that to happen. And why don't they want that to happen? Because they vote state by state by congressional delegation. Now, Arizona, if it did flip to Trump, it would flip back to Biden if it went under that circumstance, because we have a 5-4 congressional delegation here of Democrats.
That's
to Republicans.
So hard to believe.
So it's rough because we didn't do our job with redistricting 10 years ago, right? So this is the reason why redistricting is so important. By the way, everybody that's sitting out there, we have redistricting coming up in every state in the next 2 years.
We did really well with state ledge races because there was a red wave that got interrupted in a couple states.
So state legislatures have this awesome power for two things. One is electors, we just talked about. The second is redistricting. And in most states, now
here in Arizona, we have an independent redistricting commission that's been taken away from the state legislature. The state legislature is still involved with picking those individuals. But
mm-hmm. yes,
regardless, that is the most awesome responsibility that you have in determining who also ends up being your representatives in Congress. And so get involved. If you're not aware of what's going on with that, please get involved. Please make sure that your legislators know that you're grilling them on that front too, because that's just as soon as this election's over, if it ever ends, which it may not, right? To that
it's
point,
the Gabon.
To that
it's
point,
the long lasting.
We might be,
delay in announcing results
forever
in the Congo or wherever that's
Gabon.
At. But is that second piece is we have to get redistricting right. We have to get redistricting right.
Yes. I completely agree.
And Republicans messing that up is just unforgivable.
Email us your questions, everybody. Freedom@charliekirk.com. Freedom@charliekirk.com. I love this one right here. Hey, Charlie, I moved legally to the U.S. from Brazil in 2016.
Awesome.
People were all telling me Trump hated immigrants and he would deport me if he got elected.
Wow.
After 1 year in office, Trump passed no law restricting immigration. I met some Turning Point USA students at my college and they explained that everything they told me was a lie.
Cool.
Once I became a Republican, a Democrat told me, I hope you got deported. Since that day, I decided I'd never vote Democrat. Sammy, you win a signed copy of the MAGA Doctrine.
That's awesome.
Why we do what we do. And when you guys support us at charliekirk.com/support, you make stories like Sammy's possible. Mm-hmm. I love that story. I'll never vote for a Democrat. By the way, who is asking for you to get deported? The Democrats or the Republicans? I just think it's hilarious. Mm-hmm. We have some other former Democrat stories here that I want to share here. Hi, guys. I'm 30, and I've been a lifelong Democrat until this election, where I voted for Donald Trump as the first Republican that I ever voted for.
Wow.
I supported Bernie Sanders after listening to his message and going to one of his and going after the elites in the country. But then I saw how the DNC and mainstream media treated
right.
him and cheated mm-hmm. him out of the election.
That's right. Cheated Bernie. Poor old man Bernie. But that's what they do with ballots with other old people.
Yeah.
And then, yeah,
they stole his ballot. Then they took his ballot.
And then how he abandoned the American people and joined the other side. I became incredibly disillusioned with the entire system. Now I've just realized how the DNC media machine has been lying to us about the other side.
Hmm.
I wanted to chime in and share my perspective. Keep up the fantastic election coverage. Thanks so much. Rob, you win a signed copy of the MAGA Doctrine. By the way, I hear so many of these stories. I refuse to believe we lost. When I see these stories,
Bernie,
there's no way.
Bernie.
I got one more here. Hello, Charlie. I'm a first-generation American, parents from the Philippines. Born and raised cool. in Long Beach, California. By default, I was a Democrat based on the notion they were advocating for minorities and the poor. During my enlistment in the Air Force and the Trump presidency, I started to realize my views did not resonate with the left. I love this. It's because of individuals like you, Candace Owens, Ben Shapiro, to name a few, that I'm able to navigate the political spectrum. Would love a signed copy of the MAGA Doctrine. You get one because you're a former Democrat and you are a good American. And you guys support us at charliekirk.com/support. You make that possible.
I love the visual of Democrats coming into Bernie Sanders' home and taking away his ballot. That's what they did, essentially.
Oh, I completely believe it.
The DNC, basically, they were like, hey, Bernie, we're going to take your ballot now. What? We're going to take this nomination from you.
Thanks, though.
Where are you going with my ballot? Where are you going with my nomination?
So, hey, Tyler, can you answer this question about the Navajo Nation? Some people don't believe the results that came out of the Navajo Nation.
What do you mean?
97-3, they said Navajos voted for.
No, there was a story that came out that said some counties in Navajo Nation voted 97-3. That wasn't Navajo Nation's total number. Mm.
Next question for you, Tyler. People say, what is redistricting?
Yeah, so let's talk about redistricting for a little bit. So redistricting, most people don't even realize this is happening, right? So every 10 years, every state redistricts. Basically to set up the lines for your congressional district and your legislative district. So in the Constitution, it calls for that every state should have a Republican form of government. That's why we call ourselves Republicans,
mm-hmm.
is because we believe that the Constitution is right in guaranteeing that every state should have a Republican form of government. So the only thing that the federal government actually really imposes on the states per the Constitution is Article 4, Section 4, which says that you have to have a Republican form, or you have to be guaranteed one, which is really interesting if you think about it, because that means that we have a representative form of government that we can pick however we want to pick those people
that
represent us. So those people that are in that Republican form of government, legislators, so every state has a little bit of a different system, state legislature. Places like New Hampshire is crazy, where they have like a zillion state legislators, right? It's like
they do.
Every block.
They have multi-thousand.
Every block they have a new state legislator, but every state's a little bit different. Here in Arizona, we have 60 state legislators on the House of Representatives and then 30 senators
all broken up into 30 districts. Those people are elected, and those people also decide at the end of that 10-year gap who or how the lines are drawn. And so this is where gerrymandering really comes in. So certain states like Illinois, that's been governed basically by like one party rule forever, by one family, have really bad districts sometimes that are super gerrymandered. And this happens again every 10 years. Mm-hmm. Arizona now is becoming, is trending a little bit more purplish, right? Which is depressing. Terrible because 10 years ago we had a super majority before the previous redistricting. That can make a big difference. So again, I just mentioned something in Arizona. 10 years ago, we had a super majority in the legislature. That means that over 20 legislators were two-thirds of the legislature, 20 out of the 30 senators were Republican.
So how'd they draw the maps?
And so what happened, the maps got drawn because Napolitano appointees to an independent board that got pushed by voters ended up drawing the maps, and then we ended up overnight into a more purple situation here in Arizona.
And
we
gerrymandering is when you draw these districts really funky, right?
Really funky, all over the place. And so that's what actually happened. So Kyrsten Sinema ended
the
up...
The lesbian Democrat senator.
Yeah, she's bisexual, according to herself. She ran for a House seat in Congressional District 9, which was the new district that they put, they gerrymandered right in the middle north-south in the Phoenix metropolitan area. Mm-hmm. She actually ran against two moderates who were much more liked people in the state, but because she was the radical amongst three people,
canceled them out.
They split the vote, and she ended up getting in the legislature, or ended up getting into Congress that way. She was in the legislature, and then that's how she became so popular, and she became a moderate centrist because she's a chameleon, right? And then that's how she ended up becoming a U.S. senator. Mm-hmm. And so it's really important to understand that your state can change from red to blue overnight with a poor redistricting.
So Virginia just passed a redistricting amendment. I'm not that familiar with it. Are you familiar with what they did?
I don't know what's going on in Virginia, but I'm guessing it's a commission that they're trying to put into place. Hmm.
And so all of this stuff for the presidency comes through the 12th Amendment of the Constitution, which is very important to read. So I'm going to read it. The electors shall meet in the respective states and vote by ballot for president and vice president, one of whom at least shall not be an inhabitant of the same state with themselves. I didn't know that.
I didn't either, actually.
They couldn't both live in the same state?
What's that?
The president and vice president both can't live in the same state? That's interesting.
No.
Unless I'm misreading that.
That's how I'm reading it.
They shall name in their ballots the person voted for as president, and in distinct ballots the person voted for as vice president. And they shall make distinct lists of all persons voted for as president and of all persons voted for as vice president. And of the numbers of votes of each, which lists they shall sign and certify and transmit, sealed to the seat of government of the United States, directed to the president of the Senate, which is the current vice president of the United States. Mm-hmm. The president of the Senate, which is the vice president, shall, in the presence of the Senate and the House of Representatives, open all the certificates and votes, and they shall then be counted. Now, just so you guys know, Joe Biden had to do this back in 2016. Joe Biden oversaw the election of Trump. Mm-hmm. I could see and Mike Pence will have to do whomever this is. Anyway, it goes on by saying that the states control this entire process, that this is a state-run process. This is not a national process, not a federal process. It is a state-run process. It all comes through the 12th Amendment, and I really, really hope that it goes up to the U.S. Supreme Court very, very quickly. I want to thank some generous supporters that have just chipped in at charliekirk.com/support. I want to thank Rajan from Oregon. Amazing. Chipped in $500. Thank you so much. Dorothy from Phoenix, Arizona. She says, thank you for your election coverage. It's awesome. So, you know, it's amazing. We did two podcasts a day here. Thank you guys for subscribing to the podcast. We do 2 hours of radio every single day in the morning. And what I have found is that we started doing these live streams. We're getting incredible support. And people are emailing us saying that none of the other networks are covering this. So we might have to keep this going, Tyler.
Yeah, I'm telling you. It's
we're diving deep into it. By the way, we have the information of the recounts, the Supreme Court fights, of what is happening, possibly a revote, all of it. I've just been stunned at the media blackout. I really mean that, because the media blackout is just kind of creepy, to be honest with you, of how all these different forces are working and colluding together. I mean, Isabel, on social media, you spend more time on social than I do. I actually deleted all my social media apps. It's almost you can't even talk about this stuff right
now. No, you can't. In fact, I myself have had several posts taken down, deleted. I know many of our Turning Point USA ambassadors, another team for which we're always growing and excited to have new voices in, have their entire accounts deleted for sharing quote-unquote misinformation, whatever big tech deems to be misinformation, whether that's a video like the one that we just saw ripping up ballots in a precinct location, or even just daring to say that the results of this election are not yet finalized. That in and of itself is considered misinformation and could get your account flagged for speaking the truth.
It's amazing. I want to read this from Jackie. I love this question. I used to work for the National Park Service and was told to vote Democrat from all the higher ups. I was also attending college and was believing all the lies I heard from around me. I voted for Obama. Then I met this one man who was different from the others, and I fell in love and learned what made him so great was he thought for himself. He showed me many great people, including yourself, and I started absorbing it all quickly, and now my eyes are open. The problem with converts like us is now they can never unlearn the truth.
Wow.
Now I am a 2-time Trump voter. Love the work you do. Keep the faith. Make America great again. Jackie, you win a signed copy of the MAGA Doctrine. Congratulations. I love the conversion stories the best.
They're the best.
They're always the best.
Got a lot of them.
By the way, they are always the most intense.
Is Alex still here? Is Alex still in there?
Alex Spencer.
Alex Spencer.
Bernie.
A Bernie supporter.
In 2016.
She literally, you should see this. She was a Bernie supporter. We should throw out the picture of it, the conversion.
I think she tweeted it the other day.
Yeah, she's got the most... Like where it started, how
this
it's going.
This is the work that we're doing every day, everybody. We are on the front lines communicating to young people, trying to get them to see the light. We have thousands and thousands and thousands of these stories. And keep on emailing us, freedom@charliekirk.com. And maybe, Alex, we can get that story up there. Alex Spencer does such a great job.
Did you see today about Paul Gosar quoting Lil Jon and then Lil Jon coming back?
And then he said, don't quote my song.
He quoted one of the songs, and it was, I mean, Congressman Gosar can be sometimes a little bit edgy and a little bit inappropriate. I appreciate it. It's funny. It's hilarious.
He's from Arizona.
He's from Arizona. He's good, but he's one of our best rural legislators. Anyways, he said, he quoted his song because of his percentage. He said, damn, that's fine. What say you, Lil Jon? And then Lil Jon responded,
not the swearing.
Don't quote my songs, bruh. On another note, are you going to help 45... pack his stuff up.
And then, it's not stuff. Let's put it that way.
And then he just went back at him. I just talked to the club owner. He said, calm down. Pretty funny.
So, Charlie, Tyler, we obviously know what we want to do moving forward this week. We want to keep getting the truth out there. We're going to keep advocating for court decisions and litigation
State
to be
ledge.
Ongoing.
Yeah.
It's not over. This thing's not
it's
over.
It's not over. And
we're far
rightfully
from over.
Saying that. You're not going to hear that on your TV
no,
or on your Twitter feed. You're going to hear it here. What can we tell people who are facing these threats from the left, who are facing doxing, maybe being fired for supporting President Trump? People are posting things like this Twitter feed, which I posted on my Instagram story today, where people are saying, realistically speaking, how do we get rid of the racist, white supremacist, Trumpers, MAGA supporters, etc.? Do we put them in re-education camps? Do we jail the leaders? Do we deal with them like China deals with the local Muslim population? Shut down their access to all media. Someone then starts advocating for cross-referencing voting rolls from 2016 and 2020 and prohibiting all registered Republicans from voting in subsequent elections from the 2020 election. We're fighters. Our voice is out there. I mean, secret's out. We're on these lists, people.
It's
We've been spotted in MAGA hats many, many times. But how can we tell people to speak up to their state legislator, to get involved in this process, and just to have confidence moving forward?
The most important thing, number one, that you can do is always learn. Knowledge is the most necessary tool for action. If you are able to know the topics you talk about, you will not be flustered. You won't be moved by people that try to intimidate you, that try to bully you. Knowledge is so important. I don't think we talk about this enough in the conservative movement.
Yeah.
I don't think we talk about action enough either. But also digging deep into these ideas. That's what we do here on the Charlie Kirk Show quite often. We do it for 2 hours a day in the morning, and we do it on this live stream and on our podcast. But just what is the Electoral College system? Who is James Madison? Who were the first five presidents of the United States, and what was their significance?
Read the Anti-Federalist Papers.
Yeah,
read the Federalist and the Anti-Federalist Papers.
And
so learning. So that's why I want all of you to keep on tuning into our live streams, diving deep in what we're talking to. And if you have questions, email them to us, because then if you're able to learn, then you're able to do the second thing, act.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, just right before we did this broadcast, because we consume so much information, you guys support the best data research team in the country here at charliekirk.com/support, I thought to myself, has anyone talked about the North Carolina revote that the Democrats were chattering for last year? Now, all of a sudden, we have introduced into the zeitgeist of our country one of the most incredible double standards, where a congressional race was forced to have a revote last year, and they're saying, like, we don't want to revote this race. That only happened because we spent a lot of time learning, which allowed us to act properly. The third thing that you must do, which is very important, is sharing. You must share information with other people. You share this live stream. You share podcasts. You share links. And the more you learn, the better you act, the more you share. And then the other thing is just with this, state legislatures. Yep. The state legislatures must be prepared to play hardball. They must be prepared on how to play hardball. This is not going to be something that a lot of Republicans are going to be comfortable with, because this is going to be, you know, pretty nasty, quite honestly. This is going to be something that a lot of them, you know, will not, you know, be comfortable with. And so the state legislatures are really something that we must get very, very involved in, and the Supreme Court. But here's the other thing, everybody. As soon as the Democrats see us stop doing these live streams, as soon as the Democrats see our will being broken a little bit, they will have won. The only reason why Mitch McConnell, the only reason by Lindsey Graham, the only reason why the state legislatures are doing anything is because of shows like this. Mm-hmm. Everybody, we have 20,000, 35,000 people watching simultaneously. It's incredible. Yep. And right that now. Only happens when we do that. It all unites together. So please continue to email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. We will be giving out another 10 signed copies of the MAGA Doctrine. If you can show us that you're subscribed to the Charlie Kirk Show, you type in Charlie Kirk Show, hit subscribe to your podcast provider, email us, freedom@charliekirk.com. We'll be back again live tomorrow. Thanks so much, everybody. See you tomorrow. God bless.
Thanks, guys.